Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who spent more time podcasting than he's done anything else in his entire life, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RHAP 1000. That's right. Nicole, can you believe it? For the 1000th time, here is Rob Has a Podcast.
OMG.
OMG is right. Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for coming back and listening to this, what should be a very fun walk down the first 1,000 episodes of Rob Has a Podcast. I'm here with Nicole Cesternino, and Nicole is fired up and ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Nicole is pumped up. She's like, all day. I can't wait to record RHAP 1000, right?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to put that.
She's bouncing off the walls right now. I can't wait to put the headset on, get in the room with you, start recording this, bang this out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, Nicole, very excited to be here with you. Now,
how many hours is this? Did you put into this some 1,000 podcasts?
A lot. I've been going through a lot of the clips. There's a lot of stuff I wish I could have gotten in the show, but just didn't make the cut. Now, of course, what we're going to do here today is that the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast have been calling in for the past about week and a half with going through their favorite moments. I had about 100 or so calls that came in.
They were very detailed.
I went back and tried to listen to everything, tried to consider everything that you got. A lot of people called in for the same moments.
Uh-huh.
So if more than one person called in for a moment, I tried to get that into the show. But there was a lot of stuff. I went back and listened to some of the stuff that I liked that I wanted to maybe get into the show. So there's a couple of things that are things that I wanted, clips I wanted to play, but nobody called in for. So there's a couple of those, assuming that we have enough time to get through everything. And Nicole doesn't like falling asleep listening to any of the clips or anything like that.
I can't guarantee anything.
We can't guarantee anything. But anyway, I think this is going to be a very, very fun show. And I'm very, very excited about this because this is really the culmination of almost 5 years of doing this.
Wow.
And really, I'm very, very excited to have you such a great response from this. And, you know, this is going to be really, really fun. I'll try to keep my emotions in check tonight.
Try not to cry.
I'll try.
Try not to get the crybaby-itis.
I'll try not to.
We'll have to say, wipe your mangina.
All right. Well, all right. So we'll try. Hopefully you don't have to say that ever. Not even just on this podcast, but ever at any point. But anyway.
But how many hours of podcasting is 1,000 episodes?
Well, it's a lot. It's a lot. You know, and there's some days like the Thursday Survivor podcast probably takes me like 8 or 9 hours total to do. Not every podcast takes me that long, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's more than just the time that goes into me talking. Sometimes not much more. There's mm-hmm. definitely been some shows where it's been, you know, there was not a lot of thought put into it ahead of time. I just recorded it and then I just put it up. But that's definitely not, that's probably more the exception to the rule.
That's probably the beginning of Rob Has a Podcast.
Probably the beginning. And definitely a couple shows here and there along the way. But anyway, so Nicole, I do have to say in full disclosure,
mm-hmm.
You know, for all the fact checkers out there, and there's many.
Yes.
This is technically 1,000 with an asterisk because I am the Rob that sucks.
Yes.
And this is actually the 999th episode that we're putting up on the podcast feed because...
How'd you screw this up?
I didn't screw it up. Keith and Whitney screwed me.
Again.
Yes. Yes. Keith and Whitney screwed me. And then the team that got kicked off The Amazing Race also screwed me by having their exit interview on Tuesday this week instead of Monday. So technically, this is the 999th recording.
Let's just blame it on Keith and Whitney.
Yeah, but this is the 1,000th. We're saying we're going to backdate the Amazing Race exit interview on Tuesday and
yes.
make it on Monday.
Okay.
So this is the culmination. So anyway, 1,000 episodes in, Nicole. Very, very, very excited. And so first off, I have a present for the listeners
Ooh,
of Rob Has a Podcast.
La.
Yes, yes. I want to give back and I'm very, very excited about something.
Do I get a present?
You get the present too.
Oh, I do.
Yes, but you already have it.
Mm-mm.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
There's so many.
There's so many. But anyway, so I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time, and I've been very, very fortunate to meet up with one of the RHAP listeners, Eric Betzler. And he has and I have been collaborating all summer long for something that people have been asking for since the beginning of Rob Has a Podcast. Uh-huh. And I could tell you that the Rehap app is here.
Oh, I already have it.
You already have it. Yes. And you said it was good.
It was good.
You said it was good. And you're a tough critic.
I am a tough critic.
Yes. And so now, finally, with one app, you can listen to all of Rob Has a Podcast, all of post-show recaps, and all of reality TV Rehap-ups all in one place. We have a Rob Has a Podcast soundboard that we're working on. And so there's a lot of other cool features. And hopefully this is just the first release. And hopefully it's something that we're going to be able to make better and better. It's completely free also to you guys. Hopefully this is just a way to make it more convenient for you guys to go back and listen to Rob Has a Podcast. We're also working on ways to be able to have people go back and listen to the archives easier. And if you wanted to listen to, because they have the new CBS All Access app, which you could listen to all of this, watch all the seasons of Survivor, Big Brother, and Amazing Race. So more and more, I think people are going to go back and listen to old seasons of Rob Has a Podcast. Mm-hmm. So that's all there. If you want to go ahead and check out the Rob Has a Podcast app, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/app. That's APP. Go ahead and check it out.
In case you didn't know.
Well, so I think some people might think, oh, it's app, AP. No, two P's.
Okay.
Two P. PP, Nicole.
PP.
APP. Yeah.
You down with APP?
Yeah. So it's going to be very, very fun, I think. So hopefully check out the app and let us know what you think about that.
Yes. That the only thing that I said is there should be a game.
Yes. And I said that I had a suggestion for a game, which was that when Nicole makes these online shopping purchases, I could be like standing at the door and shooting them before they get to the doorstep because Nicole did more and more online shopping.
Every day is Christmas.
Yes. Yes. For the people that get Nicole's business, every day is Christmas. Yes. The patrons can't keep up with you, Nicole. Yes. And so I will be at the doorstep just fighting off the FedEx guy.
You know, I really, and our mailman, still a big jerk.
All right. Well, let's not get into that. We don't need to talk about that in the 1,000th episode of Rob Has a Podcast. So anyway, very excited about the app. And you can listen to all 1,000 episodes of Rob Has a Podcast. And by the way, the 1,000 episodes of Rob Has a Podcast do not include the 200 episodes of post-show recaps or the 100 or whatever reality TV wrap-ups. That's all separate.
That's a lot of podcasts.
Just to give some stats also. So the Friggin' 500 podcast, which we did.
That seemed like forever ago.
That was forever ago. It was actually the beginning of 2013. So it took us about 3 years
to get to
500. And then it took us about, 18-19 months to get the second 500. So we're making these Rob Has a Podcast episodes at like 250 episodes a year.
Yeah.
At a clip. Like 275 a year. Mm-hmm. So it's really escalated. So we'll be having the 2000th episode of Rob Has a Podcast about 1 year from now.
Yes.
Wow. So anyway, very, very excited. Also, thanks to everybody who has been picking up the new Rob Has a Podcast t-shirt. I've been really overwhelmed by the support for that. If you haven't seen it yet, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/bellshirt.
They're very cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Rarely
yeah,
do you
I
say
really
anything associated with me is cool.
This is the first time.
The first time it's ever been said.
Yeah.
So that's very, very cool. All right. So what do you say, Nicole? We got so much to do. Let's get into it. And so here's how the format is going to work. I have all of these voicemails that got sent in by the listeners. And so what I'm going to do is play the clip from the listener, and then we'll go ahead and listen to the clip that they're talking about.
Okay.
Okay. And then I'll go ahead and eventually, well, I'll probably just get this up as soon as I can on Tuesday morning, the 4th. Mm-hmm. People will probably listen to this probably in the archives for a really long time, but I'll get this up, and then hopefully with the help of a few people who like to do this sort of thing, I'll be able to get like a list in the description of all the links if people want to go back and listen to the full version of any of these shows.
Which you should.
Okay. All right. And for Nicole,
yes,
this will be the first time you're hearing many of these clips.
All so of this them.
No, not the ones that you're in.
You think I went back and listened to the ones
that's
I was
true.
In?
That's true. I was assuming that you were actually listening when we were having the conversations.
No, not even then.
So this for you, this will be a night of firsts. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's start out off on one of, I believe, to be the best episodes that we've ever done of Rob Has a Podcast.
So these are Rob's picks?
These are the clips.
Again, not listening.
That people called in and wanted to hear.
Okay.
But there were multiple moments from this episode that people wanted to hear
from.
Oh,
I hear you.
Okay.
Now I hear you.
So let's start off with Wendy, and she can set up this clip.
Hi, this is Wendy from Washington. Congratulations on reaching your 1,000th podcast, Rob. I've been a listener of RHAP for about 2 years, so I'm really excited to hear the memorable moments from the early days of RHAP. Besides your amazing memory and knowledge about reality TV and your insight into the strategy of Survivor and Big Brother, what I enjoy most about your podcast is your humor. The podcast that most recently stood out in my memory as having me laughing often was the Survivor 2014 John Cochran Breaks Down the Cagayan Final Four. You and Cochran were funny, but the moment that had me laughing hard was during the voicemails with Nicole. At 3 hours and 8 minutes, you kept playing the Tony Speaking Llama segment. So once again, thanks for all you do, and I can't wait to listen to your 1,000th episode.
All right, well, thank you, Wendy, very much for that. So the episode in question that Wendy's talking about is from May 15th, 2014. Mm-hmm. So not that long ago.
Uh-huh.
This was the next to last episode before the finale of Survivor Cagayan.
Mm-hmm.
I talked with Cochran first.
Yes.
And then Nicole came up for the voicemails, the social media, and some of the inappropriate comments of Jeff Probst. And so I will go ahead and let the audio tell the story of that. Let's go back to May 15th, 2014.
All right. This isn't like an inappropriate quote or anything like that, but I figured I wanted to talk llama here. So let me play some clips for you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So last night here was Tony, and he gave us this sound clip.
I'm sorry, I don't talk llama. I'm supposed to talk llama to you. You understand that better? That was the last straw that broke the camel's back.
Was it the camel's back or the llama's back?
What's a llama?
Llama. You want me to talk llama to you? Okay.
Oh my God. I think I almost peed my pants last night when I was watching that.
You loved it.
I did. I loved it.
You loved it. Again,
I just don't understand why he picked a llama.
Yeah. I know it's too late in the day for this, but I really wish that we could have done a song parody today of What Does the Llama Say? Yeah.
Oh, Tony. That is the best thing you've done all season.
Better? Wow. That's the best. All right. So then at Tribal Council, then we were talking about this,
uh-huh.
and Tony was talking about what happened back at camp, and he said this.
So I had to talk to her like I'm an animal. So I said,
which I think is actually my favorite.
Oh, my God.
I just want to punctuate everything with this. You know what? We did the Tony ringtone. I think I want to make my text messages every time.
Oh, please. Oh, please. Oh, please.
So I think I will do that. I'm going to set that.
I will set my phone to that.
Yeah. All right. We'll get that up on robaswebsite.com/ringtone.
That's so amazing.
Soon.
So amazing.
Okay. The Tony message notification. You don't like this one more, right?
That's like a drunk llama. That one's mad.
Yeah, that's a mad llama.
Stop.
All right. All right, Nicole.
It's
stay tight because we're still hot.
Yes.
Oh, dirty.
Stay tight. We're still hot. All right.
Yeah, that was okay. So we're back.
That still gets me.
We're still back. Okay, that was the first clip. I had you on the ropes that day. I had you on the ropes, and I was.
I'm crying.
Yes. And so I thought it would be fitting here in the 1,000th episode to go in and out of these clips. I thought it would be fitting. So when we go into the clip, I thought we could use this sound. Okay, so I'll play that to go in and out of our clips that we're going to hear tonight.
So they know what reality is.
Yeah, so then we know when we're back, especially when it's me and you throwing to a clip of me and you. And yeah, the Tony Lama thing was really so great. And, you know, Tony really, Kagiyan, I feel like, was probably, if I was going to rank the seasons of podcasting, I think that's gotta be up there. Maybe, yeah. maybe number one.
You should send him a thank you note.
I should. I really want to thank Tony. And I'm glad he won because he brought so much entertainment.
From the very end.
Yeah, all the way to the very end. So great job there by Tony. Okay, so Nicole, are you ready for our next call that we'll go back and listen to?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go ahead and listen to Ozbear, who wants to go to something a little further back.
Hey, Rob and Nicole. This is Ozbear. Congrats on this podcast. It's a pretty huge milestone. In my opinion, one of the funnier moments in the history of RHAP is when Dan Lembo asked during his exit interview if the interview is mandatory. This great moment happens about 12 minutes and 30 seconds in his exit interview, which he shared with Holly Hoffman. Then he also has a funny comment about 45 seconds later when he says that he's got about 100 tweets and 30 girlfriends yesterday. And he uses a questionable pronunciation of tweets. Again, happy 1,000. Appreciate your commitment. I can't imagine how many hours you worked for this. Here's to the next 1,000. Thank you.
All right, Nicole, here's to the next 1,000.
The next 1,000.
From Ozbear.
See you in a few weeks.
Okay, now do you remember this clip?
I do.
Okay, this is from December 20th, 2010. This was the day after the Survivor Nicaragua finale. And we were talking with, they broke all of the people up into, as they used to sometimes, and once in a while they still do when there's so many people in the finale, of, okay, we were on the call with, I think we had Fabio alone, and then we had one call with Chase Rice. We got weird with him and Sash.
As always.
And then we talked, the final call that morning that we had was with Holly Hoffman and with Dan Lembo. And so we'll go ahead and we'll pick this up. We were probably about like 10 minutes or so into the interview. And then here we are talking with Holly Hoffman and Dan Lembo.
So yeah. I don't really know what would have happened. I would have just hoped that they would have realized that I did something good and voted for me. But in this game, you just absolutely don't know. And that's probably what I would have used. And I probably would have used the fact of, you know, not quitting, not giving up, and just keep going forward. So that would have probably, that's how I would have pleaded my case.
All I know is I'm missing my plane. My sons are yelling at me.
All right, Dan, you got to go?
Are these interviews like mandatory? Or I can't make it now anyway.
Well, I don't know. Jimmy Johnson didn't do all of them.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson, what?
I don't think he did all of them.
No, I don't think he did either.
We'll wrap it up.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. Do you guys have any, is there anything on the internet that you guys want? Like, do you guys have a Twitter, a Facebook group or anything
yeah,
like
I
that you
both,
want to tell people about?
But don't ask me how to use them. I got 100 tweets today.
Wow.
And about 30 girlfriends.
That's my God.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Oh, Dan.
I got 100 twits today, and I got like 30 girlfriends.
Yeah,
is this mandatory? Can I just leave right now?
Just go.
Can I just leave? Just I got go. Like 1,000 things I gotta do.
Yeah,
yeah. Dan Lembo, the great Dan Lembo.
So what is he doing now?
I got to get on my, I got to check my twits. My kids are yelling at me. I got to go look at the twits. Yeah. So that was very, very funny. That was 2010, first year of podcasting. Mm-hmm. Also first season of doing the exit interviews.
Yeah.
Since then, nobody has asked on the call, is this mandatory? I suspect there were some people that asked before they had to be on the call, is this mandatory?
Yes, I'm guessing Whitney and Keith.
Yeah, most recently this week with Whitney and Keith.
Yeah.
So that was Dan Lembo.
Yeah.
A legend. A legend. Okay. So, Nicole... You're having fun?
I'm having fun, yeah.
Good, I'm glad. All right, so let's go ahead and let's stick with some of the old school classic RHAP.
I like going back to the old school ones.
Yes, yes. And so let's go back. This is going to be back in 2011. And here's Keith Dixon, who has the next moment.
Hey, Rob and Nicole. It's Keith Dixon, and congratulations on making it to 1,000 podcasts. One of my favorite RHAP moments is actually not a Survivor or reality TV podcast, but it was an emergency podcast you did back in the day, and I'm talking specifically about the Rebecca Black podcast from March 2011. That was the first podcast I ever listened to, and I've been hooked ever since. Hearing you and Nicole talk about which seat Rebecca should take for almost 5 minutes is just too funny. The emergency podcasts are pretty rare now, so I think this is a good RHAP moment to look back on. Hopefully, we can get more of these in the future because they are hilarious. Thank you for the many laughs over the years, and here's to another 1,000 podcasts.
All right, Nicole, now do you remember when we talked about Rebecca Black?
Yes.
You do? You recall?
I do remember.
You recall that one?
Mm-hmm.
And do you recall that the fight we got into
yes.
during the recording of the Rebecca, or actually it was like shortly thereafter the recording of the
before.
Rebecca Black? No, because you didn't know how I was going to use it, how I was going to put it together.
Oh, okay.
And so do you recall?
They don't need a behind the scenes. Okay.
They want a behind the scenes.
They don't need it here.
This is like the DVD commentary. People want the behind the scenes. Yes. So Nicole was very concerned because we played a lot of Rebecca Black Friday. Nicole was upset that she thought
I wasn't upset.
She was concerned that Rebecca Black's attorney might sue us about this.
I didn't know how these things worked.
Okay. Well, it was, and we got into a huge blowout over this.
Because you're very difficult to speak with.
I was like, Nicole, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. She was like, well, I think we need to talk about this. I was like, no, why do you care? Like,
why do I care if we get sued? because you were just like, nope, don't. I'll worry about it.
It was just something like, I got this. Don't worry about it. Well, and you were like, well, I think you're blowing me off.
You were.
All right. Anyway, so we won't let that sully the good memories. And people love the Rebecca Black podcast.
Yes, and it's crazy that the one thing that they all talk about is this clip.
A lot of people talk about this. This is from March 21st, 2011. Let's go back and take a listen to what was going on with Rebecca Black.
And Friday morning, I mean, it's a school day.
Uh-huh.
You assume that that's why she's up that early. She's not in business waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning. So Rebecca Black is, she sees her friends and they're driving to school.
Without a license. Decisions.
Really, a decision we're all faced with.
Uh-huh.
So sit in the front seat. Or kicking in the front seat or sitting in the back seat. Now, Nicole, which do you prefer? So would you rather kick in the front seat or sit in the back seat?
I'd rather kick in the front seat.
I think, that it doesn't really seem like much of a contest. I mean, nobody has ever decided, like, you don't ever hear anybody call back seat.
Yeah.
You hear people yell shotgun.
I guess they don't say shotgun anymore.
But now, here's the problem. They're... Is somebody already in the front seat?
She
now,
boots them out?
If this was really happening, I think a lot of people would give up their spot in the front seat to Rebecca Black.
Well, now you have to.
But I wonder if anybody would ever take a Rosa Parks-like stand against Rebecca Black and say, excuse me, Rebecca Black, I've called this seat.
I've been sitting
I'm
here.
Sitting shotgun. Uh-huh. You don't you have a choice whether to kick in the front
the
seat. You need to go sit in the back seat.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And note what Rebecca Black chooses. She not only chooses to sit in the back seat, she chooses to sit in back seat middle, the worst seat in the entire
bitch.
Car. Yes. She chooses to sit bitch. She doesn't choose to drive. She doesn't choose shotgun.
Well, you're getting ahead of yourself here.
Okay, I'm just saying that this is where this is going. Spoiler alert.
All right.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
What does she mean by get down on Friday? You're 13.
Well, that's a good question, because these are some hard partying eighth graders.
Yes.
She doesn't mention anything about the rigors of school, that they need a break or anything. It's all about the partying that goes on in eighth grade.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you.
Uh-huh.
My eighth grade wasn't that much fun.
Well, I'm the wrong person to ask.
probably are.
Oh, Nicole, Rebecca Black.
Yes.
Yes. And
love to sit bitch.
And Rebecca Black went on to have an amazing recording career after that.
Really?
Yes. Her and Chase Rice, I think.
Yeah, they just get weird.
They're collaborating.
Yeah.
Yes. That was a lot of fun, the Rebecca Black thing. Mm-hmm. That was like something that was just happening in the moment where we just got on. And I feel like that was like one of the first times it was like, oh, we could podcast about something that's not just, you know, Survivor or something that's happening on TV. Like, we could podcast about something else.
About anything.
About anything. And people really, really enjoyed that one at the time. And that's been like a show that's endured, you know, probably more than anything we were talking about, you know, Survivor at that time. You know, it's just a really, really fun moment in the history of the show.
Have you done an emergency podcast recently?
No, because you're my emergency go-to podcast person.
Well, you never ask.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we might have to do an emergency podcast. People have been asking one about the cancellation of Utopia.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And you watched Utopia. For the first time,
I watched it the other day, the last episode.
Yes, the Caesar.
I'm the jinx.
The series finale of Utopia. Everybody tuned in for that.
And I wanted to go to Utopia.
Yes, Nicole was considering going to Utopia.
Yeah, we were going to bring the baby.
Yes, but unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be.
No.
Okay. Nicole, do you ever find yourself still singing the song Friday?
No, but now it's stuck in my head.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and listen to a clip about something a little more in the recent days of Rob Has a Podcast. This is Michelle, but she wasn't the only person that called in about this.
Hey, Rob. Congratulations on your 500th podcast. My name is Michelle.
1,000.
I'm from Edmonton, Alberta in Canada. And I just wanted to say that one of the episodes that really stands out to me was the live 2014 Mr. Survivor debate, the one that you had with Tyson, Malcolm and Aris. Mm-hmm. I thought the whole episode was hilarious. I was laughing out loud. I'd have to say particularly my favorite parts were when Tyson was talking about his bulge and just Tyson's camera angle in general was just, it really added to the hilarity of it all. I really love the show. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Okay. All right. The Dog Doc called in for that moment also. This is February 18th of 2014. Of course, this was the first year that we had Mr. Survivor. We've had so many great moments out of Miss Survivor and Mr. Survivor going all the way back to the first year that we did that. Like, it was January 2012. So we've been doing that for a while now. It'll be we'll crown our fourth Miss Survivor this upcoming January, Nicole.
Yeah, and you know what? Malcolm's a liar.
Why? You're upset with Malcolm? This is the first time you've talked about
this. He has not lived up to his claims.
It's a lot of campaign promises.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, it's really election day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And people are going to, you know, make campaign promises.
Let's tweet him.
Do you want to tweet?
Let's harass him and let him know that he's not living up to his Mr. Survivor.
So here's what I want to know. Is this Mr. Survivor thing mandatory? Because I can get all these twits. I'm out of here.
Let's all twit him.
My sons are telling me that I don't have to be Mr. Survivor.
Yeah, let's twit bomb him.
All right. All right. So this is from February 18th, 2014, Mr. Survivor Debate. Are you ready for this, Nicole?
Oh, I'm ready. Anything Tyson in a bulge, ready.
All right, let's move on to the next question. We'll start with Otis in this round. This is from one of the great Survivor fans. Ken Raskoff wants to know, blurring of the bulges, are you for it or against it?
I say let them show, you know? Let everybody know what's going on in those areas. Because that's part of it, you know? Without being too crude.
That's like, part of surviving.
Part of surviving is like you have... You have sexual organs and you have to use the bathroom and you got to figure all that out. I think it would be way more interesting if instead of CBS blurring those things out, they showed them so people could see like, oh yeah, those are human beings who actually grow hair and all those other, you know, have functions there that get blurred out. I think that's probably more of the problem. We could relate that back to sexism is that like things like to be glossed over and sugarcoated and turned into blacks and whites when survivors right,
full
of grace.
That's time, Otis. Malcolm.
Every time, Rob. Well, every time.
Well, you have 30 seconds. When you go over it, we're going to call you out every time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to try to go to my maximum
capacity.
Does he get
points lost for that?
No. Only in the minds of the voters, the people scoring this at home.
Okay.
Okay. Mal.
Am I up? I think it's case by case. I mean, Tyson admitted that he doesn't have a bulge quite famously.
Ouch.
At the end of this. But then, I mean.
No, I said no one would suspect a bulge because there's a bulge there all the time, bro.
Time. I mean, two words. Philip Shepherd. Case closed. I mean, like you
don't see
out of time yet.
No, I think case by case basis. I can't say yes to this and not think back to the time I spent on a beach with the specialist and have psychological scarring.
You wish Jessica that was
like
blurred
for it.
In real life.
Yes. Oh my God. I wish it was blurred while I was out there in real life. I wish my brain was able to manifest like a black square.
I just thought his privates always looked blurry. I thought that's how they looked in real life.
Then Malcolm, that's time for Malcolm. Tyson, do you want to answer the allegations against you? Do you have a bulge or not?
There's only one way to
I have
it,
a bulge.
Bro.
My comment was that I would put the idol down my pants because there's already an existing bulge. So nobody's going to be like, that's a weird place for a bulge. No, it's a completely normal place for a bulge.
And your taint?
But I don't think... No, where your penis is.
All right.
But I think... I never got to even answer the question because everybody's firing these other questions at me.
Yeah, let Tyson
finish.
15 more seconds.
I'm pro bulge.
Got it. Thank you, Tyson, for finally answering it.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, really, thanks for getting to the point.
Jesus, man.
All right.
But literally, no, you look like Jesus, man.
And Tyson got a little beat up in that clip.
I think he handled it well.
I know. Well, it tells the story of what happened in Mr. Survivor. I think that Tyson came in. He might have been the front runner. He just came in off of winning a season, and then he got a little beat up during the debates on the bulge.
That's what did it?
On the bulge question.
Battle of the bulge.
He got a little tripped up.
Oh.
But Mr. Survivor Debate was a lot of fun. Miss Survivor Debate was very fun. That's been a good addition to Miss and Mr. Survivor.
Yes, it has.
People love the debates. Nicole, I forget your position. Are you pro bulge or anti bulge? Blurring of the bulge on Survivor.
Bring on the bulge, baby.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I forgot. I'm so silly.
So
how could I forget? Okay. Let's go ahead and let's talk about another clip from the history of Rob Has a Podcast. And this is one that actually nobody called in about, but it was one that I just happened to stumble across in as I was going back through my notes.
So this is Rob's pick.
Yeah, this is one of my picks. Just a moment that I really loved. And so this is one that happened, you know, we used to back in the old apartment a couple times. We had a visit from the Finchler.
The Finchler.
And what we did was...
Get him drunk.
We would watch the show live, and then we recorded a podcast with him live. And it was rare at that time that we ever had anybody with us in the studio.
Right.
And so the first time we ever had anybody record a podcast with us, that was actually in March of 2011. But this is a year later. The Finchler returned to Rob Has a Podcast on April 26th, 2012. And we talked about something that they were doing on the episode in Survivor One World. And in that episode, they took a quiz. The survivors took a quiz. And the question was that they asked the survivors, which of the other people in the tribe is the biggest poser? Which led us to a discussion of a comment that Jeff Probst had made about John Fincher himself. So let's go ahead and go back to April 2012 to hear about John Fincher.
And something that came up during the challenge, they asked, who is the biggest poser? Now, I didn't know people were using the term poser, but that John Fincher said that actually Jeff Probst is still using the term poser.
Yeah. He called me a poser in the little, you know, the YouTube, like the 5-minute, like, you know, cast introduction that he does.
Yes.
Like, and gives you his, like, you know, take on everyone.
Oh, best and, poser of all time.
Yeah. I later found out why he had such negative things to say about
me. Well, say what he said.
It was so ridiculous.
What did
right?
he say?
Like, he was like,
"Do we have the clip of that?
Can
we
find it?
The interns can find it. My wax denim. I don't think he knew that about me at the time. Maybe he did. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he had said, like, if you just go like Survivor Samoa cast interview or cast, what does he call it? You assessment. That's what he calls it. You'll find it. But he's like Fincher, John Fincher, Fincher. Fincher is a poser. I don't know if he comes from privilege or if he's just always found a way to make privilege work for him. Which you're kind of like, what? You've been talking about. So no one really got it anyway. But whatever. Probst is threatened. I'm kidding.
Let me see if I can bring this up real quick. The problem is my autocorrect keeps turning Probst into Provost.
Oh, right. You haven't hit the X button enough on that. I wonder if I can beat you with my.
Yeah, let me just see real quick if we have a cast assessment. All right. I think I have it. I think I have it here. Okay, this is on YouTube. Here we go.
He's probably a pretty good player. I bet he's played quite a few people. Oh. John Fincher is a poser. Fincher has been a guy that is so good looking. For so many years, he's been given things.
Wait, let's see what that face there is like. Just the F me face.
Work for him, but he has the appearance of a guy who's used to having things work.
So
Monica
funny.
Is the type of
so yeah. funny.
We play that again.
John Fincher is a poser.
Well, we need that soundbite.
that needs to make your list, right? Like,
I think so.
I think Mitch is probably a pretty good player. I bet he's played quite a few people. John Fincher is a poser. I think Fincher has been a...
He's been a guy that's been so good looking for so...
I like how he says it like it's a fact. Like, that's the first thing he says, John Fincher is a poser.
It's pretty fact. Amazing. Oh, man. That's awesome.
John Fincher is a poser.
He's a poser, yes.
And he is Mr. Parvati. How do you like that?
Yep.
I guess she likes posers.
Yeah, Parvati would play that clip over and over again.
I was dying that night when we were doing that. It's so funny. Even I hear it now. And it's even funny, like the part right before that, Jeff is like, I think Mick is a pretty good player.
Yeah.
And then it's like, John Fincher is a poser. Like, there's no like, I think that John Fincher could be a poser. It's just like a fact. John Fincher is a poser.
Done.
Done. Oh, I love that. I love it. Very, very fun. Okay. So let's go now back a ways. So that clip was from the podcast during Survivor One World. This is from the very, very early days of Rob Has a Podcast, this next clip. This comes to us from our first season of podcasting in Survivor Heroes versus Villains. Chad Shepard is going to set this one up. A couple people called in on this one.
Wow, 1,000 podcasts, and my ears have yet to bleed. Hey, Rob, Chad Shepard here from Connecticut. I've heard it all. Girl casts, parv casts, car casts. And Nicole, I truly believe someday your father will get in on a winning lottery ticket.
There you go.
But allow me to turn back the clock to April 9th, 2010, for the most fabulously awkward moment in RHAP history. Following a healthy debate where Nicole talks to Rob about whether she should take up a PI on his offer to investigate her fiancé, Rob proceeds to dial Stephen Fishback. Only it's not Stephen Fishback. It's a wrong number. And some grumpy old guy on the other end is having none of it. That is fabulously awkward.
Oh, Chad okay. Shepard.
All right. So, Nicole, a couple things there. So the clip is gonna that I'm going to play is going to start when we dialed that wrong number. Very one of the most embarrassing things that ever happened to me on the podcast.
Kept that in.
A big mistake, which I made, but it was so awkward that we just left it. We just left it in the show that we happened to call the wrong number trying to get a hold of Stephen Fishback. And coincidentally, first appearance of Stephen Fishback ever the podcast. Also, April. It was a very eventful day. April 9th of 2010. But just to set this clip up, this was planning for the wedding. Of course, Nicole and I were going to get married August of 2010. Mm-hmm. And Nicole had been emailed by a private investigator. You remember this?
Yes.
Okay, and the private investigator wanted to know if Nicole wanted to have her fiance investigated before the wedding. And I was very I was insulted by this because Nicole was getting into the cost of investigating me, and then I was doubly insulted in that what I'm not worth investigating or that
you can't win with this guy.
Yeah, I was very very annoyed about the whole thing. But we didn't let that dampen the mood of trying to call Stephen Fishback. But unfortunately, a slip of the fingers when dialing would send things into havoc.
Steven?
He's not in the bathroom.
I told him we were calling. Maybe he's on another Survivor podcast. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
Hey, Steven, what's going on? It's Rob and Nicole.
Hey, Steven.
Who are you calling?
Steven, is this not Stephen Fishback from Survivor Tocateens?
I don't know a Stephen Fishback. What number do you call?
I think you dialed the wrong number.
Who am I talking to? Is this the man or...
Yeah. Yes. This is a man. My name is.
I want to talk to
Robert.
One or the other. I don't want to talk to two people.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. My name is Rob. What is your name, sir? Do you watch Survivor? Do you like podcasts?
I don't know what the hell this is or who you are. Or what Survivor is. How did you get this number?
I apparently misdialed.
You need to quit harassing me.
Well, I don't think I started harassing you.
I'm scared.
All right. Well,
I told you once to shut that whore up. I want to talk to one of you only.
No, you didn't.
Just listen to me. I am not going to waste the rest of my day with this crap.
I don't think anybody's asking
you
to.
What?
Nobody's asking you to spend the rest of your day. All right. Thank you very much, sir. We'll move on.
All right, listen to me. Wherever you got this number, I want you to forget it. If you ever call me again, I swear to God, I'm calling the police. You got me.
Please, I'm already under investigation, sir. There's no need to call the police. Oh, man.
Ooh, what a grumpy man.
Yeah, poor old guy. I can't believe somebody would get somebody out of shape from just calling the wrong number.
Oh, my God, Nicole.
That was funny.
That could have almost ended my podcasting career before it began.
I'm surprised you didn't quit after that.
I had to call Stephen Fishback. Stephen Fishback was waiting for our call, but I might have just hung it up after that.
You should have.
Some people don't come back from something like
it's
that.
It's hard to recover.
That was a very traumatic experience.
You called me a bad word.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was luckily... we've been fortunate that hasn't happened again. And luckily, I make sure to get all those numbers straightened out before the show.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened again.
Yeah. Because we don't dial right. I cut that part out. We go right into the phone calls. Mm-hmm. So we prevent stuff like that from happening. ever again, because those are just rookie mistakes that you
make
when you're starting up a podcast. All right. Well, thank goodness we've been able to dodge that bullet again and haven't misdialed anymore. Okay. So let's take another call. This is from one of the great Rob Has a Podcast historians. One of the people that's been a great, great fan of the show and somebody that I've gotten to know even a little bit. She is called in with maybe one of the more obscure moments, but I felt like it was a classic Robin Nicole moment, and I'm sure that you probably have completely forgotten about this, but I'm gonna let Megan set this up, and it's
I'm a little nervous.
Okay, I'm gonna let Megan set this up.
Hi Rob, this is Megan Z. Congratulations times 1,000 on your huge accomplishment with the podcast. Had to call and share one of my many favorite moments, and it comes from a friggin' five on June 10th, 2011. The show's almost over, and Nicole gets a little distracted, and you catch her in the act buying a Groupon. It's for Red Ball's Rock and Roll Pizza, and the joking between you two that breaks out cracks me up every single time. Thanks again for all you do, and congratulations on your big accomplishment.
Nicole, do you happen to recall the time that you picked up a Groupon from Red Ball's Rockin' Pizza?
Yes, and you yelled at me as soon as you stopped recording. You got so mad.
Did you ever use the Groupon
to
Red Ball's?
I did.
Rockin' Pizza.
I did, I'm crying.
You think you can handle this clip that Megan wants to listen to?
I don't know.
All right, so let's go back to June 10th, 2011. 2011 was really the height of the Friggin' Five era. we did them somewhat regularly. That's when they first got invented, the Friggin' Five. Let's go back to June 10th of 2011.
Everett Hopner says, Nicole's gleeful laughter at learning Rep Wiener's name is probably the funniest moment of the podcast in recent memory. Yes, I'm including the legendary Tyson cast in this.
That beats Tyson?
I guess so.
That should be on Rob Has a Wiki.
I feel like Tyson was awfully quiet about the Wiener controversy.
Tyson isn't big on wieners.
What are you looking at over there on your laptop?
Mind your business.
Let's look at this. So, Nicole, in the middle of podcasting, what are we looking at?
Leave my computer alone.
What does that say? are you signing up for gym classes right now?
No.
What are you doing?
Mind your business. It's a Groupon, okay? I have 5 minutes to buy it.
Pizza? You are buying a Groupon for pizza right now. We're in the middle of doing a podcast, and you're in the middle.
5 minutes to buy it.
It's not really a deal. They don't really go away.
It does. It goes away at midnight. I have 5 minutes.
What is the deal for pizza? What is this great deal that you are doing this during the middle of a podcast?
It's Red Ball's Rockin' Pizza.
But what is the deal?
I don't know.
You don't even know what it is.
But it's Red Ball's.
It's called Ball. It has the word balls in it. And that is appetizing.
It has my two favorite things.
Tell me what the deal, what the coupon is that you
it's
need.
It's a Groupon. It's not a coupon.
The Groupon.
Red Ball's Rock and Roll Pizza.
Where is it? Is it even nearby?
See, 5 minutes left to buy.
Where is it?
It's a 20-inch New York-style pizza. It is in Woodland Hills.
We're going to go to Woodland Hills for a pizza? That's too far. They're not even going to deliver it.
Well, that's what I needed to find out. I only have 5 minutes.
All right. This is all day it's like this. All day.
Stop. I have 5 minutes.
It's, do you know how far that is?
It's not that far. It's like 10 minutes.
It's not like 10 minutes.
It is if you drive fast.
Stop. Stop it.
Nicole, you never did get that pizza, did you?
No, you know, that clip really does sum up our relationship.
Yeah, probably. That is every day. Probably that is pretty perfect. I liked that I referred to it as a coupon, and you were like really indignant. Like, it's not a coupon, it's a Groupon.
There's a big difference.
There's a big difference. Yeah. Anybody still using the Groupon?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. you're still buying them?
I just bought one the other day.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe this is a good time to remind people. robhaswebsite.com/Amazon. Help me. The Groupons don't stop. They just keep sending them. She keeps buying Groupons. If they have balls in the title, real New York pizza, we don't stand a chance.
Not Chicago.
Not Chicago. So, yeah, that was a very good job by Megan pulling that clip.
But you got so mad afterwards, too.
But not for anything. Like, we're doing a podcast. Why are you even checking your email and buying Groupon?
I had 5 minutes.
Who cares?
I did. I wanted the pizza.
And so it was like 11:55 at night. We were recording a podcast and you're thinking about pizza.
I'm always thinking about pizza.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead. Let's take a next clip. Let's go to Matt Forsyth to set this up, and then we'll talk about what's coming up next.
Hello, Rob and Nicole. Matthew Forsyth here. Big time congratulations on making it to episode 1000. I started listening during South Pacific, but I've since gone back and re-listened to all of your old episodes. And I just want to say thank you so much for all the hard work that you all have put in over the years, bring not only me, but the rest of the Survivor community value and entertainment on a weekly basis. I really appreciate it. So my favorite Survivor and podcast guest ever is Tyson. So it's come as no surprise that my favorite moment comes from a Tyson cast. And that's when Tyson is talking about some of his complications during the Heroes and Villains Ponderosa. Thanks as always. See ya.
Okay, so Matthew wants to hear about Tyson.
Hey, Robin Nicole, this is Jeremiah Panhorn.
All right, so Matthew wants to hear about Tyson. I actually got a lot of phone calls from people who wanted different Tyson moments, and we couldn't find one Tyson moment that everybody agreed on. So here's a Tyson moment, but there's really like 30 different clips I could have pulled for this. But let's go ahead and listen to the clip that Matthew requested. It comes from Tyson's appearance during Survivor One World, April 19th, 2012.
You're not going to have a cockroach sandwich?
No, I don't need a cockroach sandwich.
Yeah, you're not playing Survivor anymore because it's like a half hour from now, I'll just get something else.
Yeah, I'll just inject my veins with chocolate lava cake and have explosive diarrhea for the next week and a half.
We didn't need to know that part.
Well, you did.
Yeah, now we know.
Did you not? I mean, I joke a lot with my say that I don't poop because I'm too pretty.
Yeah.
We're going to let the cat out of the bag here. I actually do poop from time to time. And
you heard it here first.
Yeah, you did hear it here first. Breaking news, guys. Call TMZ. Let them know.
Tyson poops.
Yeah. So when I got off Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah.
Whatever, because I hadn't eaten almost anything. It was just coconuts and bananas and hardly any of those because they were all gone. So I just pounded a ton of food and then it was like nonstop, just water out my butt. We can say that on the air, right? Water out my butt.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So it was just water out my butt, constant like leakage, anal leakage. And so I just go stand in the shower and anally leak. Because after so much anal leakage, Rob,
right,
butthole is so raw from wiping,
right,
that
right.
you can't anymore.
Yeah.
So the only thing I could do, my only sanctuary was the shower. So I just go stand there, and then finally I got medication, and everything turned out for the best.
Okay.
Why that clip?
That's what Matthew wanted. There were so many Tyson clips that you could. Some people wanted Applebee's story.
That was a good one.
That was just, it's long. That's the long story.
Yes.
That's a long story. So I wanted to get some Tyson in there, but there was so many clips.
So now on your exit interviews, do you ask the new survivors about their anal leakage?
No.
You should.
It hasn't come up with anybody else.
Well, you should ask them. Maybe they're too shy.
Maybe they are shy. But again, it took 3 or 4 podcasts before Tyson felt comfortable enough to talk about that with me. So we've both have discussed bodily fluid leakage with each other on our podcasts.
Ew.
Yes. Yes. When you reach a certain level of being bros, you can talk about that sort of thing.
No.
Yeah. All right. All right. So Nicole didn't like that one. All right. So let's go ahead and let's go to our next clip. This is one that this came to us. I'm going to play from Jeremiah Panhorse. Travis Allmendinger also called in for this clip. And this is, here's Jeremiah.
Hey, Robin, Nicole, this is Jeremiah Panhorst. Hey, I just want to take a quick second to congratulate you on 1,000 episodes for Rob Has a Podcast. What an amazing accomplishment. And if I was to pick one favorite moment, which seems almost impossible, it definitely would be that Back to the Future podcast. Rob, when you and Steven started talking about that chicken stuff, I couldn't stop laughing. All right, well, anyway, that's it for me. You guys take care, and congrats on the 1,000th episode.
All right, Back to the Future podcast. Now, Nicole, I know that's one of your favorites.
It is.
You've probably listened to that, what, you know, a half dozen times if you've listened to it once.
Yeah,
And so, yes. All right, so this was one of the first movie casts that I think we did. This is from...
And you prepped for this for a long time.
Sure. I mean, you had to. You had to watch all the movies.
Yeah.
So this was from June 13th, 2011. This is one that people still go back and listen to today. And this is when Stephen Fishback and I were discussing that, you know, Marty McFly's biggest concern in life.
Don't call him chicken.
So that's the same thing with me.
Yeah.
Same thing with me. And so people would call Martin McFly a chicken and they get him to do all sorts of stuff. And Stephen Fishback and I discuss this turn in the plot, which really doesn't totally exist in the first couple of movies of Back to the Future, but then it does in the later movies of Back to the Future. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I love Back to the Future 1, I like Back to the Future 2, and I don't like Back to the Future 3.
The chicken thing is exactly what's wrong with the sequels. I mean, it's that, like, in the first movie, you know, which I guess I had forgotten this, like, because I had seen the second and third, obviously, more recently than the first, so I had sort of, like, backwards remembered that this was just, like, part of Marty, you know, that he hated to be called chicken. In fact, it's nowhere in the first movie.
It doesn't come up once in the first movie.
And it's because the first movie was like a beautiful movie. It had a great plot. It had like tremendous, you know, chemistry between all of the actors. And then you have these like tacked on sequels where there's like no reason for anything to happen. And so they have to like give these ridiculous, you know, character twists. And the Marty Chicken one is the absolute worst of all of those.
It really is. Comes out of nowhere. And is that even a thing? Steven, when was the last time in your life that somebody called you chicken?
I think it probably was around the time of the Back to the Future movies.
I mean, how often is this coming up where Marty McFly is being called a chicken?
Right. Well, I guess a lot. I mean, once someone knows that they can get you to do anything just by calling you a chicken, they'll definitely take advantage of that.
And isn't there another word that you would think would come up more often that they would call Marty that is not necessarily a word that you would use in mixed company, but is something that you would use to describe a cat, perhaps?
You're referring to yellow, right? No. Which is what Biff calls him in the third one.
Not yellow. If anything, I feel like that would come up more than Marty being called a chicken through his entire adult life.
Yeah, it is ridiculous, and the fact, yeah, but again, like, you know, people know that they know that, like, and you can tell from the people who, you know, who goad him like this, it's not like they think he's being a coward. They're like, what's the matter, chicken? Like, obviously you're gonna do
hey,
what I want.
Hey, nobody calls me chicken. Nobody. You got that? What do you want me to do? Like, how far do we think Marty McFly would go with this chicken?
Well,
business.
He's so far we've seen him, you know, wreck his car, engage in some kind of fraud, right, with needles,
right,
and get into a duel to the death. So basically, there's no limit.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like genocide? Is like genocide on the table?
I don't know. Like if you had like a glass of Drano, perhaps.
Yeah.
You say, hey, Marty, drink this. No way, man. I'm not going to do it. Like, oh, what are you, chicken?
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Nobody calls me chicken.
Mama.
Yeah.
You know, actually, Steve Morris, that's actually how he got his name.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
People were daring him to do stuff. He's like, no way, man. Like, what are you, chicken? And it stuck.
And he's like, yeah, I am.
It stuck. All right. So that was very, very fun. In the early days of podcasting with Stephen Fishback, and now...
Stephen's a funny guy.
Yeah, my best... We're best know-it-alls bros.
Yeah. Do you guys talk about bodily leakage?
No. We're not on that Tyson level yet. But
one day, Stephen. One day.
One day. Okay. So, Nicole, we haven't talked at all about some of the other shows that we cover on Rob Has a Podcast. We talked a little bit of Survivor, a little bit of some of the other things that we've dabbled into. But one of my favorite guests that we've ever had on the podcast is from the world of Big Brother.
Uh-huh.
And that would be Eric Stein. And Chris from Commerce, Texas has an Eric Stein clip in particular that he wants to hear us play on the 1000th RHAP.
Hey, Rob, it's Chris from Commerce, Texas. I got my start on the Big Brother podcast, so that's where I'm going to. On August 8, 2013, during Big Brother 15, at 47 minutes and 52 seconds in, you asked Eric Stein, will Amanda and McCray last and what that's going to be like after the show? And his perfect answer all the way until the twist ending is my favorite moment from Rob Has a Podcast. Congratulations on 1,000 episodes. Can't wait to hear more. Thanks. Bye.
All right. So, you know, some people have said that Eric Stein is a prophet. Eric Stein, he's clairvoyant even.
Yes, I've heard that.
And so I asked Eric Stein if he could maybe forecast what the future held for Amanda and McCray. McCranda, as they were called,
yes,
at the time in the summer of 2013, what might happen to McCranda once they got out of the house. So let's go back to August 8th, 2013 on Rob Has a Podcast.
And one last question before we get to the questions from the listeners, give me a time frame on, just ballpark guessing, the length of time McCray and Amanda will stay together from the time they get out of the Big Brother house. Eternity, 2 months.
I don't need to give you a ballpark. I could nail this one to a T. All right.
Please.
They get out of the house. They are considered a unit. I'm not speaking from experience or anything. Just going to tell you.
Got it.
Okay. More value together than they have apart. Every speaking engagement, everything they could sell on eBay, every interview they could do. They're going to want them together. They don't want them individually. They're known as a unit. So they will stay together. They'll travel. They'll go out and do this podcast, this charity event, yada, yada, yada. McCray will spend 10 days in Florida with Amanda. They will be stressful. Days 3 through 10 will not go well.
Hold on. At what point are they on Rob as a Podcast?
If I were you, hopefully in the first 7 to 10 days.
First seven to 10 days. Okay.
Yes. And then from there, then they start getting the fan messages where the fans start interjecting their charm into it, where it's like, hey, Amanda, McCray went bowling with his childhood female friends. What's that about? And then all of the invasive harassment begins. Then they start texting each other angrily, and then the fighting begins. Then maybe one last visit, hang on by a thread. Then it's all over, and then James Ryan has sex with Amanda.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What a left turn at the end.
The end.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Oh,
This is why I only do one every 2 years, Rob. God damn it. I've done it again.
All right, don't worry. We're not live. We're not live. Well, I'll edit that.
Edit that one out. Oh god.
Boy, Eric Stein was somewhat on the money there.
Yeah. Well, somewhat. You know what? It wasn't hard seeing that coming.
He could not have forecasted like the 35-minute video that Amanda put on YouTube describing the breakup. But
was the breakup?
That's not my business to describe. And I'm not sure if James Ryan ever got in there.
I'm sure he did.
I don't know about that. We can't speculate on that. That was just a prophecy that nobody knows if that's actually true. But that's one of the reasons why I love Eric Stein. And we talked about when would be the right time for us to get Amanda and McCray on the podcast together. He said you want to get them in the first 7 to 10 days, but somebody had to have a baby in the 7 to 10 days after Big Brother 15.
Oh, that was very
so your timing was not great about that. We missed out on the McCranda exclusive interview.
Well, you tell that to your son.
Yes. Okay. Well, those are the sacrifices you have to make when you decide to have kids. You lose out
parenting,
on
parenting, all about sacrifice.
You lose out on the timely McCranda interview.
But you got them separately.
Not as the unit. We spoke to them.
They are no longer a unit.
We spoke to them separately. Yeah. All right. So, Eric Stein. So let's take another question. This is another moment that a couple people had. This is from this past summer, only a couple months back. Let's go to Tony from Melbourne, not Tony from Jersey. Tony from Melbourne to set up this next clip.
Hey, Rob, this is Tony from Melbourne. Just wanted to send in one of my favorite moments from the podcast for the 1,000th episode. The first moment that came to mind was a recent one when you and Josh did the 7 things that you need to know about San Juan del Sur. And it's at the 1 hour and 2 minute mark where you talk about Jetia tweeting how she's going to defend the survivors that can't tweet. And it's one of my favorite moments because it really shows the great relationship that you and Joss have and just how silly that you can be sometimes. And also it mentions other survivors like Liza and has this running joke about how they act on Twitter. And I guess my third part is because it's just plain hilarious. It made me laugh out loud when I was on the train. Keep up the great work and thanks. Bye.
Okay, so we're going to go back to August 31st, 2014, from the 7 things you need to know about Survivor San Juan del Sur. And the topic we were discussing was that Jeff Probst wanted to shut down the survivors on Twitter. And that's sort of been kind of a non-thing this year. I mean, it seems like the survivors are still tweeting almost as much as in the past, maybe not quite as much as last season or the season before, but they're still tweeting quite a bit. But what had happened was that Jetia had vowed that she was going to defend any of the survivors. If people are going to talk smack about the new survivors,
yes,
Jetia was going to defend them. And Josh and I discussed that here on August 31st, 2014.
So it could get a little nasty.
It could get a little nasty out there. But don't worry, Josh, because there is one person who is going to make sure that that is not going to be the case.
Who's that?
At Jetia, PhD, tweeted out yesterday, since hashtag Survivor San Juan del Sur contestants can't tweet, I will defend your actions on your behalfs. Hashtag, even if they're dumb. Hashtag, you're welcome. Hashtag, been there. She's like Batman.
Oh my gosh. She's going to be the Caped Crusader of Survivors on Twitter.
If you cannot tweet, I will be there to defend you.
Who spilled the rice?
Yes. So she is going
tweet
to be watching.
Watch you back, Eliza.
Check your DMs.
So if any of the Survivor tweeters get out of line, Jetia will be there.
Oh my god, she's the paladin of Survivor social media.
Yes.
Just the holy crusader who's just going to protect us all. That's great.
Yes. So she will be there to watch your back, 18 players. You know, in fairness, that Jatia has not been doing much defending this season. Don't say that. Don't say that. She stuck up for Drew Christie, and that's really been it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said it was a good move that he made when in the fourth episode, when whatever he tried to do, she said it was a good move.
Mm-hmm.
Should have worked.
Yeah.
But no, there's been not very much defending.
Yeah.
Yes. So the Caped Crusader has
that was
been
really funny.
Yeah.
Check your DMs.
No, Josh is hilarious. Okay. So let's go ahead and let's play another clip from somebody who's a beloved member of the RHAP family. Let's go to Matt Wojcis, who's going to call in for his moment that he wants to hear.
Hi there, Rob. It's Matt from Mineola, a.k.a. Matt Wojcis. You may have seen me in a lot of the questions that I've written, and you saw me in person at Survivor Know-It-Alls Live. I gotta tell you that of all the moments I've seen of Rob as a podcast, and I've only been watching you since Survivor Philippines, but I've gone back a little bit and watched some of the earlier moments you had, and one of them that still cracks me up was when you had Primetime Alex Stein 99 in the apartment, basically giving him three different challenges of consuming massive quantities of McDonald's food. He tried to eat the Big Mac all in one bite and then failed, and subsequently was able to scarf down an entire large strawberry shake in 30 seconds. What made it so memorable was that as he was wolfing down that Big Mac, your laugh was just addictive, and it was funnier than the actual act of eating and drinking itself. Thanks for putting this on. It helped me through graduate school, this podcast.
Now, do you think the actual podcast of Primetime 99 eating the Big Mac helped him through graduate school with that actual episode?
Was it in psychology?
I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast. So when we were like in the summer of 2012, that was when The Glass House was on. You remember that show, The Glass House?
Yes.
One of your favorite reality shows.
Loved it.
One of your favorite shows, period, of all time.
Yeah, of all time.
And so Primetime 99 was the first person kicked off of that show. But he made such a big impression on us. And of course, he was local. And we ended up having him, we talked to him on the phone. And then so we were going to have him come in and do a live recap.
Sleeping during this?
I think you were in the room, in the bedroom, but you said you wouldn't come out while Primetime 99 was there. And with good reason, because Primetime 99 came over and he he was supposed to come over at like 7 and like watch the episode live on the East Coast feed, which was going to be 10 p.m. Eastern. He allegedly overslept or something and then showed up probably 5 minutes before we were going to start the podcast because he overslept. And he came into the house and was like, Rob, oh my God, it's so great to be here. I'm so happy. Thank you so much for having me on, Rob. This is great. I really appreciate this. Rob, I hate to do this with you. I got to blow up your bathroom right now. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, man, I just got to go in there. I'm going to blow up your bathroom right now. I'm sorry. I hate to do this to you, but I got to do it.
Anal leakage.
And this was before he was going to attempt these McDonald's challenges. This was pre doing the McDonald's challenges. But anyway, Nicole, have you ever heard this clip? Have you ever seen this clip?
I think you played it for me.
Okay. So, Nicole, I'm actually going to show you the video of this and get your reactions to the video. This is like one of those things where people show somebody two girls, one cup. I'm going to get your reaction to watching the video here. And I'll leave your microphone up on this one. So to hear your reactions to Primetime 99 eating the cheeseburger. So we asked America, what would you like to see Primetime Alex Stein do for you here tonight live? And the choices were A,
eat 20 McDonald's chicken nuggets in 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. B, eat an entire McDonald's Big Mac in one bite.
Yep.
Or C, eat and drink an entire large strawberry shake from McDonald's in 30 seconds.
That's the one I want to do. The strawberry shake, because I'm going to blow the roof off, all right? I'm going to make it rain strawberry shake.
Everybody. America voted.
Not on okay, my couch.
Okay. America did not want to see you eat 20 McNuggets in oh, okay. a minute. America,
I've done that. That's nothing new.
But it was very close mm-hmm. between a large strawberry shake
yes.
in 30 seconds or a McDonald's Big Mac.
Big Mac. Ooh, it's still warm. I'm probably going to eat this regardless. Look at that, America.
So
what's the vote?
America voted, and they said they would like to see you eat an entire Big Mac in one bite.
Okay, they want the Big Mac in one bite. Okay.
All right, so here we...
All right, guys.
So here we go.
Here we go. Here we go, America. Let me get the Big Mac. This is going to be hard. I did have dinner earlier, but I can do this for you guys.
All right, here we go.
Okay. God bless America.
Ew.
You're not going to puke, guys. This is Ew. Terrible. This is... Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. You're not going to choke, are you? Yeah. Here, I have a strawberry shake. Oh, no.
Oh, go ahead, watch it. Go
let's see right. what...
Here, watch it.
Yeah.
Watch how fast I can drink a strawberry shake.
All right, so you get a mulligan. We're going to give you a mulligan on the Big Mac.
It's so much Mac, guys. Give me a break.
If there. It was a little Mac, you could have done it. So that was a fail. We're going to say... no, that was an X. All right.
Okay, how do we get
all
the timer started?
All right, 30 seconds. Can I get 30 seconds on the clock?
And this is a full shake.
All right, and go. 30 seconds. Prime time. Oh, no. Oh,
this is so stupid.
This is not going well. We need a bigger straw. Prime time, you have 15 seconds left, prime time. Oh, no. Don't throw up, whatever you do. It's not that important. Oh, we got it. We got it.
We did it in under 30 seconds,
guys. We
have
a new champion, America.
Prime time, 99, Alex Stein. Put me in the glass house to eat some fried chicken. Not in that.
Where's it going?
Too easy. Too easy, America. Try harder to come up with something else.
You are just cracking yourself up.
I was dying during the prime time 99 eating the cheeseburger.
That was disgusting.
I'll embed the video also on Rob's website.
You need the video to go along with it.
I think you need the video because he like when he tries to eat the Big Mac, he's just like shoving it, pushing it further and further. It's just not happening. I don't know why he thinks he could eat a Big Mac in one bite.
It's called a Big Mac.
It was too much Mac. better or worse than Prime 99 eating a cigarette?
Better.
Okay, yeah. Hard to be worse. All right. So let's go to something slightly more recent in the history of Rob as a podcast. And let's go to Austin Trupp and hear what he has to say.
Hey guys, this is Austin from Maryland. Wow, what a week it has been since the 500th episode, right? So much has happened. One of my favorite moments is, any Oddest Cast is always a great podcast, but one particularly stands out for me, and it was after the premiere of Kageyan, an amazing premiere. And it starts off, the moment I'm remembering, at about 2 hours and 4 minutes. And it starts off with a conversation about Jeff Probst. He's talking about all three tribes taking turns going down. And then Otis, BBB, Bushkowskis, and Rob start to discuss a line that becomes famous in the Survivor lexicon, and it rhymes with, "This is Mooj." Anyway, thanks for all the shows. They've been so awesome, and good luck with this 1,000th show.
All right. Thank you, Austin. And of course, Austin is referring to the premiere podcast from Survivor Kageon. You know, we opened the show with a Tony clip talking about Llama. But of course, we got so much mileage out of the whole "this is huge" thing last season. But there was one episode of the podcast where it started, where Tony found the idol in the first episode of Survivor Kageon. Otis was here. He was in that very seat that you're sitting in now, Nicole. And so for the very first time, we heard on the podcast Tony's famous line. Yeah, you get one.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, one that's good. Here's Jeff Probst's inappropriate, out-of-context comment of the week.
All three tribes working together well, taking turns going down.
Okay. Here you go. You want it again?
Yeah, let's do that again.
One more time.
Sounds great.
Okay, hold on. Let me get the I think.
I feel like you could probably cut out the all three tribes.
All three tribes working together well, taking turns going down.
There you go. They're working well, taking turns going down.
Exactly.
That's ideally. That's how you want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Sounds like a recipe for a good long relationship.
That's good. Now, I've added another segment here. We've talked for a long time about Jeff Probst's out of context inappropriate comment of the week.
Okay.
But I feel like when necessary, I feel like it's okay to have the Survivor contestant out of context inappropriate comment
Absolutely.
Of the week.
Absolutely. Let's hear it.
Okay. And this week's out of context inappropriate comment comes to us from Tony.
Ooh.
Okay. Here's Tony's out of context inappropriate
Love
comments.
Tony. Love him.
This is huge. I needed this.
That honestly is going to be the best clip you have all season.
All right,
Rob, can you email that to me?
Sure. I think it's my ringtone. Like, one more time. Here's Tony.
This was something we all laughed about while it was playing live.
Yeah, this is.
This is huge. I needed this.
What's weird is I'm visualizing this. If it had a matching clip.
Tony.
Jesus, Tony.
Tony's
a size queen.
Yeah, this is huge. You don't know how much he needed this.
He needed it.
He needed it. It was so huge. Boy. Okay. And that I was also very impressed last night. I'm sure you must have been thrilled to have gotten a shout out during the episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the longest time, you've been trying to get people to pronounce your name correctly.
Specifically Jeff.
Jeff Probst. Finally, Jeff Probst was able to get that.
Who wants to welcome you to the bottom?
It's not so bad.
Well, this is the oddest tribe I've ever seen.
There you go.
More so than the six tribes oddest has been in.
Yeah, this is the oddest tribe I've ever seen.
It took a long time, guys. It took a long time. A lot of seasons had to pass before Jeff could finally say it correctly.
Who wants to welcome me to the bottom?
Yeah, it's not so bad.
That could have been an
This is the oddest tribe I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is the oddest. So maybe if we can combine who wants to welcome me to the bottom with...
This is huge. I needed this.
And then Jeff taking turns going down on each other.
Yeah. And then this is the oddest tribe ever seen.
All three tribes working together well, taking turns going down.
Yeah, welcome to the bottom.
We got to make a mashup.
And this then is add huge.
I think I figured it out.
I needed this.
Yeah. We create a mix using Bryce's chorus. I want to get freaky.
Yeah. You're a freak. I'm a freak.
You're a freak. I'm a freak. This is the biggest thing I've ever seen.
Welcome to the bottom.
Welcome to the bottom.
All the tribes take a turn going down.
Exactly. I think we've got ourselves a hit.
Yeah.
Do you think that we
have you effed with an orifice up to your wrist?
Yeah. Perfect.
And that's how it all started, Nicole.
Oh.
That's how it all started with that.
That's some good stuff right there.
Yeah, I love that. This is the oddest drum I've ever seen. That was good. What a great 2-hour premiere from Survivor Kageyan.
Yeah,
fantastic. So that was back February 27th, 2014.
I love the music that they're playing during Tony's orgasm.
Yeah. It was great. The whole thing was really, really fantastic. So, Nicole, I have another clip that this is not something that people called in, but this is something that I wanted to play. And there's so many things that are like this, but this was just something that I stumbled across and I kind of had forgotten about this from something that I had done back during Survivor One World. And, you know, way back when in Survivor One World, you know, Kim sort of had the whole thing on lockdown. There wasn't too much exciting stuff going on, but we did get a lot from one person who was really kooky all season long, and of course that was Tarzan. And Tarzan, he was very good. He had a lot of crazy moments that were during the season. He had the whole thing that happened with it's not poop, it's dirt. Of course, and then
it was poop.
We got one of the great lines in Rob as a Podcast history from Jonas when I asked him if it was dirt or poop. And Jonas said this.
No, I'm going to have to say it was poop.
Remember that was your crush that season,
yes,
Jonas?
Oh, Jonas.
But I think that Tarzan was my crush in that season.
He still is.
And of course, I did. I had done a song parody, but I'm not going to play that. It's dirt. But there was another thing that I had done, which was I really enjoyed, which was they were doing a re-release of the movie Titanic at that point in 2012. And they were doing Titanic in 3D, and we actually went to go see it.
Yes, we did.
And so I wanted to combine my love of Tarzan and my love of Titanic for a trailer for the upcoming release of Titanic 3D. And I would like to play for you a clip from the film Tarzanic.
This April, relive the magic in 3D of the greatest story of our time.
The reality is I fancy myself an adventurer and a romantic, and in my youth I tried to inspire concupiscence in the cognition of every female I met.
A man on the adventure of a lifetime.
I'm captain of the ship, and the ship's sinking, and we're going down, I think, but I'm not certain.
You haven't seen Tarzan until you've seen Tarzanic 3D.
This is not poop, it's dirt.
I'm gonna go puke, I'll be right back.
You don't want to tend the fire?
Watch as his heart will go on all the way to the final three.
Which I believe in the human heart. If you help somebody, they can't help but want you to
sensual dance
with them.
Dalton Ross from Entertainment Weekly calls Tarzanic 3D Tarzan credible.
What he said is a neologism.
And Tarzanic 3D gets 4 stars from some other guy. You know, what's his name?
I have a nominal aphasia.
He's the king of one world on a mission of love.
I had the urge to perform a number of well-illustrated pelvic thrusts.
This April, the game is afoot. Tarzanic 3D.
I thought we're dead.
Yes, Tarzanic.
And this is what you do all day long in this room.
He has nominal aphasia. I actually did that in a different room.
Okay.
For the record, okay. So that was Tarzanic. Boy, Tarzan. It was like we could totally forget about Tarzan.
No, you don't.
Yeah. He was such a big deal. Okay. So, Nicole, every season before we have new players play Survivor, people are always looking forward to the Corinne cast.
Yes.
She did her first one with us before Survivor South Pacific. And I think we sort of just like tacked that on to our premiere. I think we said like we had like a separate part and that was Corinne. So
right.
For Survivor One World, that was the first one that we gave Corinne her own preview special before that happened in February of 2002. And there was one moment in particular when we were going through the preview of the cast that somebody in the cast reminded her of somebody else. Do you remember this? Okay, so let me set up this clip. This is Beatriz is calling in to talk about her favorite moment from Corinne.
Hello, Rob and Nicole. It's Beatriz from Brazil. My favorite moment from the podcast was when Corinne told us that Michael from One Row looked exactly like the boy that she lost her virginity to. I thought it was really funny, and right away I knew rehab was the place for me. Also, was the first time that I got to know the survivors beforehand, and it totally changed my survivor experience. Keep up the good work and send kisses for Dominic.
So there was one player in particular that reminded Corinne of a guy that she used to know, and that was the great Michael Jefferson, the future star of Naked and Afraid. Here's Corinne from the Survivor One World Brutal First Impressions cast.
What about Michael? These are our two M&M guys.
The M&M crew.
Michael.
Okay. Let me tell you something. I'm putting this out there, okay?
Put it out there. He's a
Michael
banker.
Looks so much like the guy I lost my virginity to that I showed the picture to my mom. And I was like, who does this look like? And she's like, oh my God. I would really like to get to know Michael better. Much better.
Wow.
He literally looks exactly like the guy in high school that I dated.
Is it the guy? Did he change his name?
I was thinking that. No, but he's the same age and everything. And I think my ex lives in Seattle. It's very eerie. Yeah.
Sounds
so
suspicious.
Literally, I wrote down, I don't think he says anything of substance, or maybe he did. I could not concentrate. So.
Okay.
Are you talking about
when you watched the video or the other time?
Both.
Okay.
The video. I was like, all right, here's the thing. He's so good looking. Like, it's like staring at the sun. He's really, really good looking. And I never say that stuff. You know, I hate a person that does Survivor. But he's got a real job and he's like a normal age. He's not 21. And he's just really hot. And then I read something about the first 60 seconds of the game. Did you read that?
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, ah, man, he probably doesn't last. What do you guys think?
Now, again, are you talking about the guy on Survivor, or are you talking about the time?
No. Not the guy I lost. Not the guy that took my hymen.
Oh. The one, not that guy.
I don't know. So in the first 60 seconds, they like told everybody you can take whatever you want off the truck, the girls and the boys, and then he just started pilfering from the girls.
He was the guy who stole everything.
Yeah, the guy who stole the girls' package.
Yes.
Right.
You know, Corinne, you know, she's talking about Michael Jefferson, about how he's so hot. This season, she's talking about how John Rocker is so hot. Is it time? Can we say that Corinne's taste in men is questionable?
She also said that he seemed like a normal person with a real job. and now he's on Naked and Afraid.
And then he was on Naked and Afraid. So that was, I don't know if we can trust Corinne's assessment on, you know, on some of these guys. You know, it's very funny, but I'm beginning to wonder if she is a reliable judge of character here. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's take another question or another request here on the 1000th RHAP. And this one comes to us from Maddie.
Hi, Rob and Nicole. This is Maddie from Vancouver, Canada. Huge Survivor and RHAP fan. Congratulations on your 1000th episode. I really love Tidy Whiteys, and whenever it gets played on the podcast, it really cracks me up. Unfortunately, I never heard the first moment when you played Tidy Whiteys. I would really love to hear it, though. Love listening. Keep up the great work, and go Keith!
Now, which Keith? Keith from Survivor? Not Keith from The Amazing Race, right?
He's gone.
Okay. All right. So Maddie is asking to hear the first time ever Tidy Whiteys was on the podcast.
That must have been hard to go back and figure that out.
We didn't have a lot of information on this. So luckily, when I have a question like this, there's one person that I turn to, and that is Megan Z. And I emailed Megan. I said, Megan, when was the first time ever that Tidy Whiteys was played on Rob as a podcast? And within hours, she got back to me and said, from my information, from what I've been able to conclude, she believed the first time it
Does
was ever
have, like,
played.
The database?
She has a mental database. She must have a great memory. She said, I'm going to say February 22nd, 2013, on the Holly Hoffman edition from Survivor Karamoan. That was the first time ever Tidy Whitey's made it onto Rob Has a Podcast. So let's go back to February 22nd, 2013, and hear the first time ever the beautiful song grace the airwaves of Rob Has a Podcast. So Shayna Davis has a different suggestion.
Okay.
So Shayna says, I liked Rob's analogy of the worst Survivor player ever, but I believe Lisi from Fiji is the worst player ever. She didn't even try at the challenges. She was rude. She didn't even seem to have respect for the game at all. Then she quits the game after spending a majority of the game living in a luxurious camp. All right, Nicole. So is it possible that Lisi is the worst player of all time?
No, because she has the best song of all time.
So I have a special place for Lisi. Okay.
My favorite song.
And this is an original song from Lisi.
Tidy Whitey's. Tidy Whitey's little boy, Tidy Whitey's. Tidy Whitey's little boy, Tidy Whitey's. Tidy Whitey's little boy, Tidy Whitey's.
But you need the video to go along with this.
I can only play up to 34 seconds of this, and then it no longer is a family podcast. All right. First off, big tip of the cap to everybody at the Facebook group previously on Survivor for introducing me to that.
Best song ever.
That is from Lisi Linares, uh-huh, from Survivor Fiji. This is one of her original music videos. Makes me very sad. This video only has 2,702 views at the recording of this. Makes me very sad. Now I know about 2,600 of them are from me.
Yes.
I love this video. It's very not safe for work. So do not look at this video.
Yeah, you don't want your coworkers to see you watching this.
Obviously, Lisi cannot be the worst player of all time if she made the music video to Tidy
Whitey's. It's impossible. It is absolutely impossible.
Tidy Whitey's. Not safe for work, mm-hmm, and parental discretion is strongly advised.
Yes.
And that's all. That's as much of it as I can
play. But do yourself
a
favor and watch it.
Yeah. We love it. I can't get enough of it. This should be the theme song to Rob's podcast.
I'm going
to
put this on my voicemail.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Tidy Whitey's. Tidy Whitey's.
I wish we could get Lisi to re-record a version for Philip. Yeah, like tidy pinkies.
Tidy panties.
Tidy Whitey's little boy.
Yeah. All right. So maybe if somebody can get a hold of Lisi, maybe we can get her to record an original or play in concert.
You should do your own version of the video.
I should have the video. Oh, the video. All right. So check out, go to YouTube and search Tidy Whitey's Lisi.
But isn't the, like, she created the song in response to fans coming up to her?
Yes. I don't even want to get into the urban legend of, we can address this more at another time.
I want to interview her.
If more people, yes. That should be a goal of the show.
Yes.
That's it, Nicole. First time ever, Tidy Whitey's on Rob Has a Podcast. We mentioned in that clip that I think the video had about 2,500
views.
2,700. At the time of this recording, 18,421 views for Tidy Whitey's, and I believe we've driven a lot of that traffic.
Yes, you're welcome, Lisi.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Lisi Linares. Not the worst player of all time. Mm-hmm. I will defend you until my last breath, Lisi.
If you will, in his Tidy Whitey's.
Yes, yeah. So very, very happy. Look what we were able to do. You're listening, Baylor Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening, Baylor? See what we can do?
Yep.
The rehab bump for Tidy Whitey's. Okay, Nicole, this next one is from Nick in Melbourne, and he wants to go back to a show that we've already talked about here in this episode.
Okay, what episode?
Okay. He wants to go back to that Cochrane cast from May of 2014. Here's Nick.
Hi, Rob. This is Nick from Melbourne, Australia. My all-time favorite Rahat moment would have to be when you and Cochrane pitched the sitcom for The Vlat Shows. Congratulations on 1,000 episodes. Cheers.
Okay. Again, more Tony stuff.
Yes.
Tony was such a goldmine last season. Mm-hmm. And it's been one of the things that's been said about Survivor 29 is that we have not had one person who's been nearly like Drew Christie for like one episode.
One episode.
He was
yeah.
for like one episode. He was like 0.5 Tony.
Yeah.
And Tony was Tony for was one like was Tony for 14 episodes. For so many hours of Survivor, and we'll never get that again. It's very sad. Tony needs to come back and play again. we need to start the petition. Here is Cochrane and myself. Of course, Cochrane is a writer for mm-hmm. the smash hit The Millers. Sean Hayes, now a cast member of
oh,
The Millers.
Is he really?
Yes, mm. yes, working with Cochrane closely. And so let's go ahead and let's play this clip of when Cochrane and I talked about a sitcom based on Tony Vlachos. Blue Bear wants to know
oh, I really like this.
What is your pitch to CBS for a sitcom titled The Vlachos? Okay, Cochrane, could you give us you got a pitch meeting in about 90 seconds, okay?
Oh my god.
For a pilot of a new CBS sitcom called The Vlachos.
The Vlachos is about a retired cop who, you know, left the force after getting, you know, he got too caught up in the whole business and wants to, he was getting too old for this blank, as people frequently say. And so he went back home, but he still thinks about things in the cop mentality. And, it, you know, not about like suspecting people are criminals or anything, but he's just, he likes spying on his family, for instance. And how does he spy on his family? He constructs little shacks in the corners of rooms.
Multicam show?
Absolutely, okay. Multicam yeah. show. It makes some of the angles are going to be a little bit hard to capture, but I think that you need a live studio audience to really be able to appreciate something like the Vlachos.
Yeah.
I can already hear the theme music. He's going to have a bag of tricks. I mean, the whole thing is...
Let me build on this, okay? Maybe instead of a... police officer, could he be some sort of like Homeland Security? Okay, because then I want to add in a foreign exchange student. And okay, he so Tony of, he suspects yeah, him yeah, no. of maybe being here in this
oh my
country.
God, this is perfect. And yeah, they're hosting the foreign exchange student, and so like, you know, he hears the kid on the phone, but he's hiding off in his spy shack in the corner of the foreign exchange student's bedroom. Oh no, I can see that it's perfect.
Yeah, so
it's kind of like Homeland meets
The Americans.
Yeah, and meets like hopefully some like sitcoms.
Yeah, is Morgan the daughter on this show? And so the foreign exchange student is also trying to hit on the daughter. Is there a little bit of like a Married with Children?
I was going to say Married with Children. So, I mean, the sort of thing when Morgan comes down the stairs, the studio audience says, "Woo!" You know, she's wearing a little belly shirt or whatever.
All right. Is this going to pick up?
I think
is it too late up front?
We can get a pilot picked up. I'm optimistic about a 13 episode order, but whether we'll get the back nine is another thing.
Okay. All right. We'll see if it gets the back nine.
He got
Nicole.
a little specific in there. I think he was showing off.
About Morgan?
No, about 13 episode pickup. Not sure about the back nine.
The back nine. You want to get the back nine. Yeah. Anytime you can get the back nine, you want.
Sounds dirty, Cosmo.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, very fun with Cochrane. Yeah. I think that if you probably ask me what's the best episode of Rob as a podcast, I think I would say it's Cochrane. He was here in studio. That interview is almost like 3 hours. We had all the stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we had Cochrane on the podcast. Then you came in and then it was all of the llama talk
and
inappropriate comments. I think it's the longest episode in history. I think it's like 3 hours and 35 minutes, something like this. I think it's probably also the best. Yeah. I think that's probably where the bar is for an episode of Rob as a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, and not only is it, I think it's also the most downloaded episode
really?
In Rob as a podcast history. So I think it's fitting that I think it's also the best quality episode that we've ever done. Okay, Nicole, one of the most iconic episodes that we've ever done happened in 2012. And we were on quite a hot streak in 2012 because first we spoke with Jeff Probst in November of 2012. And then shortly after that, we spoke with another person who was, or I might have the order backwards. I might have it, might have been this person first and then Jeff Probst. But it was somebody that we've been chasing for a long time in the history of Rob as a Podcast, somebody who I've gotten to know very well over the years. And that was Boston Rob. And Dawn's Bread has a moment from the first Boston Rob podcast.
Hey, Rob, Dawn's Bread here. I actually have a oldie but goodie for the Big 1000 show. If I recall the first time you and Boston Rob talked on the podcast, your intro for him was very, very comical. And his reaction was very, very comical as well. So I was wondering if you could play that and we could relive the magic, if you will. Love the show. Happy 1000th. Bye.
Happy 1000, Dawn's Bread.
Let's relive the magic.
Let's relive the magic of Boston Rob calling in on Rob Has a Podcast.
All right, everybody, let's get right into it. I don't think that we've ever had a more anticipated podcast guest in the 3-year history of Rob Has a Podcast, and super excited to do this. We've been waiting all week for it, and here we go. Please welcome the 4-time Survivor superstar, the winner of Survivor Redemption Island, Boston Rob Mariano.
Hey, Rob, very excited to be here on your podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, Boston Rob, very excited to have you here. How are you doing? Oh, everybody's doing good. Really excited. I don't do a lot of podcasts, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm supposed to let this go on for us, Estonino.
Here it is. It's the real Boston Rob. How are you?
Is that the impression that everybody's talking about?
What? Everybody's talking? I'm happy if everybody's talking about anything I'm doing.
Well, it's quite an introduction, and I appreciate it. But remember, nobody likes an ass kisser.
We call it sucking kneecaps. All right. We won't do too much of that. But yeah, really excited to talk to you. You know, people have been asking for you since we started doing the podcast. We thought we were going to have you at the end of Redemption Island. You snuck off, got on a plane like Bond at the end of the season. And then we missed getting you there.
I left the next day.
Yeah, you've been
that next day.
Very elusive. So finally, great to track you down. A lot of people said this would never happen. And, you know, I may have said the same thing a few times that I never thought it would actually happen. But great to have you here.
How do you like that, Nicole? Boston Rob.
He was a good sport.
Yeah, he was a good sport. I really appreciated that he came on. That was like one of the thrills for me to have Rob come on. And he was so gracious and open in his time. Like he didn't have to come on and do the podcast. And he was on for a really long time. He went into a lot of different stuff. He was very complimentary about me, you know, and he really has been, a good friend to me, you know, and I really I know it sounds kind of crazy, but like, I love Boston Rob at this point. he's great.
Yeah.
That he's been a good friend. Like we text and he's been a very nice guy. Maybe that's just, you know, he's that good of a Survivor player that here's somebody that, you know, he voted out in the game, but is able to win me over.
Or maybe it's just podcast magic.
I don't know what it is. But no, I love it. I love it. It's fantastic. Okay, so let's go ahead. And I think that Boston Rob interview, October 24th, 2012. So that was before the Jeff Probst interview. Okay, so Nicole, I have a call that is about an episode that you had done.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go to Ariel. And she wants to hear about the time Nicole was in the car driving to Vegas.
Hi, Rob. This is Ariel. Congratulations on your 1,000th podcast. One of my favorite Rahat moments was during the Vegas CarCast when you and Nicole were on your way to the New Media Expo and Podcast Awards in January of 2013. While I was very excited for you to win, I, of course, was also eager to see what was going to happen with you, Dan Giesling, and Eraser if you did indeed win. We heard you talk about Nicole's reaction to shaving your head a few times, but it was on this podcast where we got to hear her thoughts about it firsthand. Congrats again and all the best.
Okay, so just to set the scene, January 2013, we were nominated for a podcast award, Best Entertainment Podcast of 2000, and it was for the year of 2012. It was 2012 Podcast Awards. It was January 2013. We were nominated for Best Entertainment Podcast, and I had said on the podcast that if I won the award, I was going to shave my head.
Ridiculous.
And Nicole was anti that. Of course, I've made also all sorts of, it's like, you know, it's not like I have like this amazing haircut. Oh my God, is it ever gonna, is he crazy? Like my hair is like what, like 3/4 of an inch long?
It's pretty long.
Inch and a half at best. So I didn't think it was that. I thought people were going to say, like, well, who cares if you shave your head? But Nicole made such a commotion about your head.
Oh, commotion.
You said you were going to divorce me if I shaved my head. True or false?
See, that causing a commotion.
Okay, well, that you were going to divorce me over a haircut.
Did I?
No, you didn't.
Shut up.
No, you didn't. And so I kept saying to Nicole, well, don't worry, we're not actually going to win.
I
believe that. Okay. And here is on our way to the New Media Expo in Las Vegas, talking about that discussion where at the time we had thought that Dan Giesling was going to be the one to shave my head if I was going to win the award, and in reality, that's not actually what happened. I think Dan Giesling didn't want anything to do with it.
He disappeared.
And he disappeared. I never saw him again after I won the award. But anyway, so that's what the thought going into this.
So what Kurt with a K is referencing is back when we were campaigning for the podcast awards, and if you are joining us and you don't know what we're talking about, Rob as a Podcast is nominated at the 8th Annual Podcast Awards for Best Entertainment Podcast. It is the third year in a row which we are nominated for Best Entertainment Podcast, but the first year in which the Podcast Awards are being held live in person. So we are nominated for the Podcast Award for Best Entertainment Podcast, and what I had said was, if we win the Podcast Award with your support, I am going to get my head shaved clean by the one and only Dan Giesling from Big Brother. And I thought, okay, this will be fun. And I thought, okay, Nicole isn't going to like this idea, and it'll be funny when Nicole gets bad. But what I underestimated was how much Nicole wasn't going to like this idea. And she's really pissed off for real, not even joking around.
This is the most ridiculous idea you have ever come up with.
Right.
You will be sleeping on the on the couch until your hair grows back.
No, I wish Nicole was pretending.
I am not. I am not pretending.
And I wish Nicole was this good of an actress. But no, she's not.
No, because some people look good with a shaved head. You will not look good with a shaved head. But do not have the head to be bald.
But how do you know?
I look at you.
You...
So, I have eyeballs.
Now, and you have said also that you are no longer rooting for me to win the podcast award.
I hate that you put me in a position to where I don't want to root for you.
All right.
That is awful.
Well, it is awful. It is awful. Yeah, it absolutely is awful. So, now, we are on our way to the podcast awards. The podcast awards will be streamed live on Monday. I believe they start at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. Yes, you have to
say? I have gotten a lot of listener support of this.
Yes.
And support of me. in the anti-head shave.
Well, I would like to not do it. I would like to not have
my
head shaved.
Why did you say this? Idiot.
Well, for one, I didn't really think that I would win.
But now you do?
No, I don't. I'm
going to yell fire before they even say announce the winners.
That's a federal offense, I think.
Just kidding. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, so don't do that. So, Nicole, so the head shaving is still on as far as I'm concerned.
I will beat the crap out of Dan Giesling. That's what I'll do.
Well, that might be worth it for the price of admission also. As far as I'm concerned, the head shaving is still on.
I'm going to have a long talk with Dan Giesling, and I'm going to notify him of my boxing skills.
And I will repeat that it is if we win. I will not shave my head if we don't win. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yes.
So,
and you're... God better be on your side and your hair grows back. Because if your hair does not grow back... We're getting divorced.
Okay. Well, that seems like a very shallow thing to do, once again.
That's fine.
Okay.
Sticks and stones.
Lots of billboards for strip clubs and Fun Zone Extreme Gifts.
Eye on the road, buddy.
Now, did you have that conversation with Dan Giesling? Is that why Dan Giesling disappeared
once I won
the award?
Maybe he just listened to the show.
I do have one more bonus clip from the car cast.
I have another comment about a car cast, but not this one.
Okay. Well, this is the only car cast I have in the show.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, here. Let's play this other clip, and then I'll hear your clip.
Nicole, I want to make sure I'm not interpreting your signs. You pointed to your crotch just now, which could only mean one of three things. So I want to make sure I got the signals right. Are you getting your period? Do we need to stop at a drugstore right now?
No.
That's not it. Are you feeling frisky? Is that because that's very dangerous while we're driving the car?
Yes. Pull over.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Press pause, please.
Press pause.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Are you being serious?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Are you saying you need me to find a rest area?
I have to pee really bad.
Really bad. Is it an emergency?
It is, but we're stuck on a freeway where there's nothing.
All right, so we will be scanning for a rest area. If worse comes to worse, we will stop
and pull over.
No. Is that what you want?
Not to pee.
Oh. But again, I asked the question, is that what you want? Like, you say things, but that's not really what you want to happen.
Well, should we find out?
I guess so.
Yeah, she just had to pee. Yeah. Nicole sounds a lot more exciting.
Yeah. Just had to pee.
What was the other thing you wanted to talk about?
Do you remember the car cast we did when we went to New York for the wedding?
Yes.
And we almost got pulled over by the police.
We almost got pulled over.
Yes. We saw the cops were coming and you had the phone in your hand.
Oh, we thought.
And we're like, nothing going on here. Nothing going on.
Oh, we thought we were getting pulled over because we're not being hands-free.
Yeah.
Yes. Lots of good car cast. We haven't done one in a very long time. That might be the last one that we've done.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, now it's like where would we have to be driving without the baby?
Yeah. And he's screaming.
Yeah. So I don't know. So the car cast was very fun. And I think what people liked about it, especially a lot of these older clips, like going back and listening to them, it's like, you know, it's not, they're not as well produced, but it's kind of like they were a reality show.
Yes.
Like it was like almost like a, you know, there's like a story happening on the thing. It wasn't just a show.
Yeah.
And
we're funny together.
And I miss that. I miss that, getting to do the show with you and getting to hear from you, especially like some of those old clips, like the 2011 stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it really was like, you know, you were, you know, our lives were playing out onto the show. And I do feel like we've, in some ways, like as the show has become more polished, I feel like we've lost that. And I would love to be able to figure out ways to get that more organically into the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know how.
Yeah.
I don't know how at this point, like between, you know, life and also like trying to keep it like I try to make the show sound more professional, but
right.
The times that whenever we can get that stuff in there, I think that it's still, you know, very, very fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really makes me smile, like some of these like stupid fights that we got into back then, that we can, you know, I love that we have these things that we can go back and play, like, oh, here's an argument that we got into from 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know,
or here's something stupid that I said.
Yes. But the thing about the like arguing on the podcast, it's like if we were having that argument and it wasn't being recorded, it would probably like go to a more volatile place. But we're both like the podcast, like sort of forces us to sort of like behave at least somewhat and so like I kind of wish like all of our conversations could be recorded, because I feel like we would never get into a huge fight.
Okay, this isn't
like
a therapy session.
I think in some ways it is. It's my 1,000th episode. I could talk about this.
Okay.
And I feel like that, you know, that being recorded sort of forces us in some ways to be on our best behavior.
There were some times that we had to pause the show.
There were some times where, and there were also times where we did a podcast and then Nicole said, take that out. Take that. I'm like, well, take what out? Like that thing that either that you said, you know, take that part
and
out.
And you never did.
Because, well, I knew you weren't going to listen.
Maybe I did.
Maybe. Well, you didn't.
But I didn't.
Okay. Let's go ahead and you'll like this one, Nicole.
Okay.
This one came in right under the wire, like right before we were about to record the show. I got this message. This is from Brandon Alexander.
Hey, what's up, RHAP? This is Brandon Alexander. I hope I'm not too late, but I'm just now listening to the podcast where you talk about your 1,000th episode. I'm kind of behind, just been really busy. But I wanted to point out what one of my favorite moments was. It's actually in Celebrity Apprentice 4. I'm not sure exactly what episode, so I don't know if you guys will be able to find it in time, even if I'm, you know, not too late. But it's the story where you tell about how Nicole touched White Craft John's butt. And he said, make no mistake, white girl, I will F you in the end. But, yeah, it's that one at that moment I thought was absolutely hilarious. I pretty much died when I heard that. But anyway, thanks, Rob. I'll talk to you soon, hopefully. Peace.
All right, Brandon. Well, it wasn't easy to find that clip.
That might have been one of the best days of my life.
That we did the podcast?
No.
Okay. Let me go ahead and I'm just going to play this clip. Apparently, Wyclef was on an episode of Celebrity Apprentice. I think he was on the Celebrity Apprentice 4 premiere.
Uh-huh.
And so I believe I'll get the date on that. But here is Nicole and I discussing this eventful moment from our lives.
So, and then also, I know one of your favorites, Wyclef, showed up.
He's my friend. Wyclef is my friend.
Have we told your Wyclef story on the podcast?
I do
before?
Not believe we've told my wife Wyclef story. Why don't you tell it? You tell it the best.
All right, very, very quickly.
And it does entail Johnny Fairplay.
So in 2005, when I had first moved to Los Angeles, Nicole was visiting one weekend. She's living in New York, and we went to a concert that was like
a Heineken party.
Yeah, it was like a very intimate concert that Heineken was throwing,
uh-huh.
and Wyclef was performing. And we went there with Johnny Fairplay
and Rhino.
Rhino was there too. I'm blacking out the Rhino part of the story. And so one of the many parts of the story I should be blacking out. So we go to this concert and Wyclef, who, you know, I have always been a big fan of his music
until this day.
And I was slightly less of a fan after this. So, you know, he had he did his whole concert, and actually Jeremy Piven was there, and
he was
like playing drums.
Yeah.
So it was a really good show. And then towards the end of it, Wyclef says, okay, all the pretty ladies in the house, I want to see you on the stage. So Wyclef brings, there's a bunch of women that go up on the stage, and then much to the urging of Johnny Fairplay, Nicole is pushing Nicole up onto the stage. And so, Johnny Fairplay is like making like motions, I don't really know. What kind of like third base coach signals is he giving you?
He's like, telling me to like basically hump Wyclef.
Yeah.
So I did.
No. So Nicole is like sneaking up closer and closer to Wyclef until finally she's like right behind him.
And I'm
like,
air humping him.
Like, yeah. And then she is like behind him, like like sneaking up on him. And then finally she grabs Wyclef's butt. At which point the concert stops. And now Wyclef,
the music, like, Wyclef's like, stop the music.
Hold on. Stop the music. Nicole's like hiding like in the background. He's like, some white girl just grabbed my ass. And then he like points at her and he's like, make no mistake, white girl. I am no Kobe Bryant. I will F you in the ass. And he didn't say F. And now, like, the whole concert is, like, going crazy. Yes. Thank you, Nicole, for that memory.
Oh, yes. I hold it close to my heart.
Yes.
Yeah, so I stopped a Wyclef concert.
Well done, Nicole. Well done. It's the kind of thing that if a man did it, he would have been like thrown out on the street and roughed up by security.
Yeah. Well, luckily I'm not a man.
You're a real Aubrey O'Day.
You're a real Aubrey O'Day,
that is
Nicole.
A crazy story.
It is a crazy story. It is a crazy story. It was crazy when it happened, and it's still crazy now. It's still crazy.
Well, yes. I had some balls.
Yes, you did. Yes, you're somebody's mom. February 20th, 2012, that was that story. It actually happened in like 2005 or something like that. Like spring 2005. Mm-hmm. But that was when the podcast was on February 20th, 2012. You're a real Aubrey O'Day. Okay. All right. Just a couple of clips left, Nicole.
Okay.
All
right. And then I got to go to bed.
Okay. We got to go to bed. We all have to go to bed. It is getting late. Oh, only a couple minutes left on these Groupons. Okay. Let's go ahead and
they last longer these days.
This is a clip that one of my clips that I wanted to play on the podcast. Nobody called in about this. And this was all the way back in Survivor Heroes versus Villains. Mm-hmm. And so we were sort of just figuring out what the podcast was about at the time. And we sort of got into, you know, we're talking about the episodes, but we were also trying to cover like news as it happens. Uh-huh. And apparently at that time during Survivor Heroes versus Villains, Russell Hantz had gotten into some legal trouble.
Oh, yes.
And so I had gotten a phone call or a message from somebody who was saying that they were a representative of Russell Hantz. Mm-hmm. So being a good journalist, an aspiring journalist.
Which is what you are.
Yes. We went ahead and brought this person onto the show, Russell Hantz's attorney.
You would think Russell Hantz's attorney wouldn't speak so freely.
Well, he speaks freely. He's Russell Hantz's attorney. And so on February 23rd, 2010, you and I had a conversation with Russell Hantz's attorney who was trying to clear Russell Hantz's good name.
I don't remember what it was about.
He was being charged with something. This was during Heroes versus
Villains.
It was
like assaulting a woman?
Something like that. Again, I don't think anything ever came of it.
Right.
But he was being charged with something. I'm sure it was
bogus,
fraudulent. Yes, some sort of bogus claim. Here's our conversation with Russell Hantz's attorney, April 23rd, 2010.
Hello.
Hello. This is Rob Cisternino and Nicole Palmieri. Is this Russell Hantz's attorney?
Yeah, I'm Russell Hantz's attorney, baby. I'm the greatest attorney of all time.
Really? The greatest attorney of all time? How do you know that you are, in fact, the best attorney?
I'm better than Boston Rob's attorney. I'm better than Richard Hatch's attorney, obviously. Hell, I'm even better than Johnny Fairplay's attorney.
Well, I think he gets a lot of work, Johnny Fairplay's attorney.
He's pretty good. He's good, but I'm better. I'm Russell Hantz's attorney, baby.
Well, how did you do in your last trial, Russell Hantz's attorney?
I had the best case of all time, but I had the most bitter jury ever. Hell, I even tried to pay them $1,000 after, and they still wouldn't make me the winner. So I started a website called Russell Hanson's Attorney Got Screwed.com. You might have seen it.
Really? Russell Hanson's Attorney Got Screwed.com. That's a mouthful.
That's the interweb thing. You got to type that in.
Oh my God! This is a lot of attention for you, Russell Hanson's attorney.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty much I find idols and stuff, and I work on juries. That's what I do. I'm so far the jury stuff is my biggest downfall.
So let me ask you a serious question, Russell Hanson's attorney. What really happened? Did Russell really do these horrible things? Did he really commit assault?
Hey, I'm here to tell you guys the truth. He didn't do nothing. I swear on the lives of my kids he didn't do that. I'm Russell Hanson's attorney, baby.
Wow, so you swear. I mean, if you're swearing on the lives of your kids, then that definitely has to mean that you're telling the truth. So what really happened?
Hey, Russell Hanson knows what happened. Hey, listen. Are you listening?
We're listening.
Okay. He'll tell the whole story to Judge Thompson in exchange for immunity. That's really? The only way this is going down. We need immunity from Judge Thompson.
Judge Thompson is going to give Russell Hanson immunity?
Well, yes, JT needs to hand Russell. Yes, Judge Thompson, JT.
Oh, okay.
If he hands my client Russell Hanson immunity, he will tell him the whole story.
Oh my goodness!
Wow.
Russell Hanson's attorney. What do you think of that, Nicole?
You never did catch his name.
Yes, I don't know. There was some talk that maybe that might have been an imposter.
No.
An impersonator.
Not on Rob has a podcast.
Of Russell Hanson's attorney. Sometimes we get duped on these things. Okay.
Gullible.
All right, Nicole. Let me play this one from another Megan. Here's another clip that a couple people had requested.
Hey, Rob. This is Megan from Wisconsin, first time caller. I've been listening to your show since the summer of Whodunit. My favorite moment on the podcast was your Father's Day special. I listened to it exactly 2 months after my own dad passed away. I have been feeling tremendously lonely and sad, but your show reminded me of really how lucky I was. You see, my dad passed away the day after Easter of this past year. I've been debating that Sunday whether to make the long 2-hour drive to see my family. I'm so happy I did. So going into this holiday season, I want to pass your message, and now mine, along to others. Despite the stress, money, and chaos of it all, enjoy your time with your loved ones. You really won't regret it. Thanks, Rob and Nicole, for sharing so much with the RHAP universe.
A couple of people had asked me about this, and I know this is like a fun show, and like we're like having a lot of jokes and stuff like that. But a lot of people did ask me to play the moment where I talked about, the last time I ever got to talk to my dad. And I know I've told it a couple times on the podcast. I couldn't find the first time I ever talked about it, so I want to play something from this past Father's Day from June of this year. And so the reason why I wanted to play this was because, and this is, you know, what I had been saying right before this clip was, you know, every time I talk about this, I get a lot of messages from people who they end up like having some sort of a conversation or a breakthrough or some sort of at least like thawing of a relationship between a parent and themselves, some sort of like thing where it's just like not necessarily even like they're, you know, at war, but it's just like a really cold relationship. And because of this conversation and this story, people have had the courage to sort of, you know, try to mend some of these fences that they had. And so I ultimately had this conversation with my dad in the final time that I ever spoke to him. And I want to play a clip of me talking about that from June of this past year. And Nicole, you must have had a cold this day because you do. You sound a little off. You'll hear it in the clip.
Was I sick?
I don't know. I don't know. It was June. I wouldn't think you had a cold, but your voice definitely sounds off.
I think I was sick.
Yeah, this is from Father's Day weekend of this year.
I would call my dad and talk to him on the weekends, but we talk about the Mets and talk about the Jets, and we really never ever had like a real conversation between us. And I always felt like, you know, for whatever reason, like he just would never go there with me. And so
he was old school.
And so I felt like I wanted to call him and tell him that, you know, I feel like, you know, I have this thing that's like, that's bothering me. And I wanted to talk about it with him. And I was like, so stressed out. And, you know, I had no reason to believe this was going to be the last time I ever talked to my dad.
Yeah, right.
And my dad did not have any sort of sickness. Now, my dad was overweight, and I always was concerned about his health. But, you know, it was, my dad was, you know, 61 years old, and, you know, we had no reason. He wasn't under hospital care or anything like that. We had no reason to think that, you know, he was going to be, you know, imminently passing away. And so, you know, I called up my dad this one day, and I was going to like put it off. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't do it today. Maybe I'll do it. Right. Or maybe I'll just do it when I go home in 2 weeks. And so I called him, and he was like in the middle of doing something. He was like he would make dinner before my mom came home from work. And he was like making dinner, and he was like dealing with something. And it was like, and I think the radio was on, and I like, it was really hard.
Wasn't he doing his spice garden or something?
He was, you know what it was? He was like, they had a Brussels sprout plant, and he was like taking like Brussels sprouts off of the plant and like, yeah. And then like doing something. So he was like distracted. And I was like, Dad, you know, I have something that I really want to talk to you about. And he's like, what is it? And like, I just feel like that we can't really.
Well, did he say, can't this wait till you get
home? Yeah, he's like, can't this wait 2 weeks? Aren't you coming home? I'm like, oh, Dad, I really want to talk about it now. And so I was like, you know, I just feel like, you know, that I have this thing where I feel like, you know, I can't really talk to you the way I want to talk to you. And he was like, you know, Rob, he's like, you and your brother, you guys are both sensitive. Like when I was growing up, like we didn't have, like my dad was never, you know, wouldn't give like hugs and stuff like that. And, you know, and he was talking about how, you know, he sees other people that are like that. And that's just not the way that, you know, his dad was, and that he just, you know, didn't really ever talk about his feelings. But, you know, he was telling me how, you know, that he is like, he, you know, when he was telling me that, you know, when I go to bed at night, like I always like say a prayer for my kids. And like he really like started to open up to me about like a lot of different things that I had never really gotten to talk to him about. And, you know, as you know, we continued to go on, like we were on the phone for like at least like 45 minutes or an hour, and it, you know, talked about a bunch of things where I was like, there was like a point where like I always felt bad about something, that there was a point where I thought I always felt bad about like a one specific conversation that we had had. And I had said to him about, you know, Dad, I always felt bad about the time that my dad had been in a car accident one time. And like, he had said to me when he came home from the hospital, he's like, oh, you almost got rid of me. And I said like, yeah, almost. But I was like, I was saying it sarcastically, like,
right.
But I always felt like he, and he's like, Rob, I don't even remember that. And this thing that I was like, I always felt bad about that it happened. Like he didn't even remember that happened. And he had said to me, he's like, you know, the only time that you ever made me, really upset was, I heard you on the phone talking to somebody and you were saying to the person on the phone, like, yeah, I hate my father. And I had never known that he had, that had happened.
Uh-huh.
And I had, you know, Dad, I honestly, I have no idea what the context of that was. And I don't know if it was like around the time, like I was like, you know, going through casting, like the time period sounds right where maybe I might've been like going through casting for, and as you know, Nicole, I am a loud talker.
Yes.
Okay. So I was probably, for all I know, I might've been like on the phone, like talking to somebody from casting and they might've been asking me like, oh, what do you think of your, what
maybe
do you, think
you just got in trouble.
And maybe I was blowing off steam or whatever, but he said that really had hurt him.
Oh.
And he was really, that was the only thing I had ever said that really bothered him. And he never told me about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dad, I really had no idea that was something that I had done. And that's not true. And I started to talk to him about, my grandfather, my dad's dad, had died very suddenly he was at somebody's wedding and he had a heart attack and he died very suddenly. And I remember being with my family was on like a camping trip and we were not like a camping trip, like a cabins. Okay. And we had gotten a phone call and I know that my dad had never gotten to say a goodbye to his dad. His dad just died and
it bothered him.
I don't know if it did or not. I know. I'm sure he would have liked to have had that opportunity. And I got into this conversation with him and I said, you know, Dad, I just like my biggest fear is that, you know, someday something might happen to you and I won't get the chance to tell you how much I love you. And, you know, he said to me, you know, Rob, like I love you. You're my oldest son. I love you. I'm proud of you. I remember when you were a little kid and taking you to the park and basically, you know, he opened up to me in a way that he never, ever did. And, you know, we said a few more things and he was like, sort of like, you know, all right, are you done? Are you done? And it's like, yes, yes. And I was so happy. And I called my mom and I called my brother and I called my sister and I was just so happy.
And you got into an accident because you were so happy.
I did. I was like, I was like on cloud nine for a couple days.
A minor accident.
I sort of like, my car like kissed like another car, like on a side swipe type thing. Cause I was leaving a message on the phone with my sister, like, oh my God, Lisa, I had this conversation with Dad. It was like, I feel like everything is going to be so different. And he opened up to me and I never talked to him again. And 3 days later I got a phone call, a voicemail from a family friend. And if I ever get a call from a weird number, I'm always still like and it was, I got a call from a family friend that was like, Rob, it's really important, call me back. And it was like a voicemail. I was like, oh my God. And I knew something was wrong. And then my mom got on the phone with me and she said to me, do you remember that amazing conversation that you had with your father? And she just told me that he was gone and that was it. And that was the last time I ever got to talk to him. And so this, no matter whatever happens to me, this is the most amazing coincidence or anything you want to call it that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
This is that. There's no, I've talked to my dad, you know, hundreds, thousands of times. I never had a conversation like that before. And this would be the last time I ever talked to him. And I was given a gift by the universe.
Yeah, I don't think there's a such thing as a coincidence. I think that was meant to happen.
And I remember the day that it happened. I was like, I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
Because I got to have this, you know, this could have happened a week ago and I would have not gotten to have that conversation.
Or you could have waited like you wanted to.
I wanted to put it off. And so, the point of me telling this story, is really that, you know, it's Father's Day. Make sure you, you know, tell your dad, you know, if there's anything you want to say, and not just to your dad, to your wife, to your to your mother, to your father, you know,
so anyone that you care about,
your friend or somebody that you have animosity with, you know, just suck it up and
live life and love everybody.
You'll be happy that you, even though it's hard to do, there'll be a time when you'll be happy that you did it. And, you know, that's something that I always think about on Father's Day. And if you want to read the whole story of this, you can go to, let me give a short link for this. Go to, Rob has a website.com/Rob's Dad.
Yeah, that doesn't really work as well on the outro. And I know that my story has like helped a lot of people. Yeah. And like, I've heard from a lot of the listeners of the podcast, people who have had simply, you know, listened to my story and, you know, had a reconnection with a loved one. And since that time, their loved one has passed.
Oh, really?
Like, I just, you know, I feel like, you know, I talk about reality TV. I don't have anything profound that I contribute to the universe or anything like that. But I feel like I have like this one thing that I feel like that can, you know, help people. And I try to talk about it when
I think when overall, I can. Rob, you help people more, yeah, than, you, more
yeah,
than you know.
Sure. I'm like, I know, like,
I hear what you're saying.
Like, I don't want to like fish for compliments or anything like that, but I just like, I have one thing of substance that I feel like that I can contribute to the conversation. And believe me, I don't have a perfect relationship with every single person in my life now. Like, I don't always, you know, take my own advice. There are certainly people that I, you know, even in my like immediate family that I don't have super close relationships with. And there are things that are unsaid, but I just feel like, you know, if you can help it, you know, it's worth it to try to, make those as good those relationships as good as you can be, if you feel like you know, there's something that you're going to regret down the road if you don't take care of it with these relationships. And you know, it's just like with this 1,000th episode, you know, my dad passed away in December of 2011, so the podcast wasn't even 2 years old then, and like that's one of the things that I just like, you know, the podcast has grown, and I just wonder like what he would say about like everything that, like, I don't think that he like to see that, you know, it's become like a job, and it's become like you know, not that it's like anything that's like you know, that crazy, but
you sold out the room at the comedy club. He would be
like,
so
that would just, that would just been fun
to, he would have thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think so but then I also like, and I'm, believe me, I'm,
and he'd
not,
be bragging all of his friends about it.
Yeah, but like, I also like the fact that, you know, it was sort of like around that time, like after he died, was when things started to really like get bigger. Mm-hmm. And so like, I don't know, like I do go back and forth in my head, like, you know, is he behind the scenes on any of this stuff now? And, you know, not that I'm like a super like sappy person like that, or is it that, you know, I, you know, sort of like, hey, life is short, you know, let's not mess around, like, let's, you know, we're here, let's work, you know.
Maybe it's a little both.
A little both, maybe. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that was the story about my last conversation with my dad. We don't get serious too often, but I kind of feel like...
But when we do...
Two and a half hours into the 1,000th episode, I feel like you guys can handle that. Okay. Anyway, so, all right. Well, last thing. One last moment.
Last one.
This was the moment that I got so many requests from. there was one moment above all else that, you know, I got,
this is the big moment.
I got a dozen calls about this, if not more. I'm going to play a couple of them. Okay. There was one moment in the history, in the almost 5-year history of Rob's podcast, that people said, you have to play this clip.
What's up, Rob and Company? This is Neb from Knoxville, Tennessee. And my favorite moment in the first 1,000 podcasts was when that lady chose to speak to Randy Bailey after she won a contest. Like, what was she thinking out of all the people that you guys have had on the show? Like, Randy, I mean, come on. Anyways, it was absolutely electric. It was cringeworthy, and I couldn't pull myself away. So keep up the good work, and I can't wait to see what you guys do with the next 1,000. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, come on. What was she thinking?
Hey, Robin Nicole. This is Juan in Miami. Out of your entire podcast history, I'd have to say that my favorite moment was when you gave a super fan, I can't remember her name exactly, but you gave her the opportunity to call any ex-Survivor contestant, and she decided to call Randy. That's definitely my favorite moment. Thanks a lot for all your hard work. See ya.
See ya. Calling up Randy.
Hey, Rob, it's Shane Gallagher from Dublin, Ireland. I've been a huge fan of the podcast for years now, and I just want to say a big congratulations for reaching 1,000 episodes. I think one of my favorite moments from RJP was on the Happy Christmas episode just gone, when Hayley Strong called Randy Bailey as one of her favorite Survivor players and got them asking 5 questions. However, Randy was just not interested in it at all and just hung up on her after about 2 or 3 questions. I thought it was so funny and so unexpected, and it was just a classic RJP moment. Thank you. Keep up the good work. Bye.
All right, Nicole. So, and they go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Okay, people want to hear from the Happy Holidays to Christmas special. Of course, this year we tried something new. I did the Miracle on Rahap Street contest for anybody who didn't hear this. And so what I had done was I had selected one of the commenters from robhasawebsite.com, and I said to this commenter, I got them on the phone, and I said, from my vast Rolodex of Survivor contacts, I will be able to, we'll call up any Survivor, and then you can ask them 5 questions. And I'll call up anybody you want. You know, you tell me. I've got just about everybody's phone number. And so there was a girl. Her name was Haley. Mm-hmm. We've gotten to become good friends now.
Uh-huh.
And so Haley, we got her on the phone, and she said that she wanted to call up Randy Bailey. Randy was her favorite. And so
he's my favorite.
Yes.
She can't have him.
Okay, well, she wanted to have him. And so we decided to go ahead and call up Randy on the Happy Holidays Miracle on Rahap Street. And we got Randy on the line to ask him 5 questions for Haley. And here is your most requested moment from the 5-year history of Rob Has a Podcast.
Well, I'm glad I can help. What's your question, Haley?
Okay, so my first question. You've played Survivor twice, both in Gabon and Heroes versus Villains. What would you say is the hardest thing you've ever had to go through in these seasons?
All right. Let's see. The bugs. There was a lot of... I cut my head in Gabon. That was pretty tough. But, you know, actually, Haley, I would have to say it's the fans. Since I've done the show, they annoy the shit out of me.
Randy,
to be quite
come
honest.
On.
You know, yeah, the elements out there are nothing compared to, I've had a couple of stalkers, and now this freaking phone call in the middle of the night. The fans.
Randy, this is your number one supporter on the line.
I heard her. She said I was one of her favorites. If I was her favorite, she would have said I was her favorite. She didn't say that.
Who are you?
I got to know who's part of, you know, her. Who's the other one?
Is it Sugar?
Are there 3? Are there 2?
Is it Sugar and Crystal Cox?
No, it's actually you, Rob, since you gave me the opportunity to talk to Randy.
Oh, okay. So you're talking to your 2 favorite Survivors
Since it's you, Rob, I will continue. If it was either of those other 2, this phone call would have been over. But go ahead. How many questions is that? Is that just 1?
That was 1. Can I ask a question, Randy? Do you exchange any Christmas cards or anything with the other Survivors from Gabon?
You know, all that stuff you hear about, you know, we share this experience and we're friends for life. It's bull. I haven't spoken to, you're the first one I've spoken to in probably over 2 years. And the last one I talked to was Charlie because I owed him money.
You owe Charlie money.
Yeah. Anyway,
All right, that's
beside the point. Let's go with question number two.
Number two of five for Randy on the Miracle on Rahap Street Survivor Fantasy Contest. All right.
My second question. Your former tribemate, Tyson, played on this season of Blood versus Water. What did you think of his gameplay?
Was he in... He was in Heroes versus Villains. What do I think of his gameplay? In Heroes versus Villains, he outlasted me, so it must have been excellent. But I didn't watch this season. They cut my cable off like a month ago. So,
Randy, you couldn't go online to watch. You didn't even want to see it all this season.
You know, I've played it. I've seen it. I used to be a huge fan, but no, I didn't have any interest. It's fantasy. You know, you might as well be watching, you know, Saturday morning cartoons or something.
Are you happy for Tyson?
What was his gameplay, good or something? Well, why would I be happy? Yeah, Tyson's a nice guy. He's funny. He's smart. Did he win?
Yeah, he was the winner.
Well, you know, good for him. Yeah, it's. Good job, Tyson.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to him. I saw him a few years ago, but I didn't even.
Randy,
wow, I'm shocked.
Did you have any idea when you were out there on Heroes versus Villains that you were with such successful, great Survivor players? Since you've played with these people, now Boston Rob came back. He won a season. Coach came back. He made it to the finals. He almost won a season. Tyson came back and he won a season. You were playing with some of the greatest players of all time.
So what is, I just a spectator that season or what? Or are you saying that I'm next?
I think so. You might be the next Survivor winner, Randy.
Haley, how many questions is that?
That was two. I still have three more.
Okay, move. All right, keep going.
Okay, my third question. If you ever had the opportunity to play Survivor again, which Survivor would you most want to play with and why?
Is it male or female?
Yeah, anyone.
Okay. Before my first season or after? Any answers good?
Any person who's ever played Survivor.
I'd have to go with Nunya.
Nunya?
Who's Nunya?
Yeah, Nunya fucking business. Rob, quit calling me and lose this fucking number.
Randy? Hello? Hello? Haley, are you there?
I'm here.
I think Randy hung up on us.
Oh.
Haley, I'm very, very sorry.
Well, my Christmas is ruined.
Well, you people are sick that you wanted to go out on such a down note here tonight on the 1,000th Rob Has a Podcast episode.
I want to know what her other two questions were.
Yeah, we'll never find out. We'll never find out. So that was kind of a bummer when, you know, we had Randy on the line. Haley was, you know, nice enough to pick him out of anybody. He just didn't want to. He wasn't into it.
It's none of your business.
None of your business. Oh, my God. Nicole, I asked you before we came on tonight. Talk about this. What was your favorite moment from the history of Rob as a Podcast? And what do you think Nicole's answer was?
I don't remember.
Yeah. She's like, I can't remember.
No, I think that my favorites were the Celebrity Apprentice podcasts.
Yes. Anything, but nothing specific.
I think
the
Bret Michaels and the herpes, those were always, those were always fun.
Oh, the good old times.
And the tour bus thrust.
Sure. Sure. We did have a lot of fun with the first Celebrity Apprentice that we talked about back in 2010. One of the moments that I didn't pull this clip, but one of the things I really liked was when everybody thought we were going to go beyond Survivor Blood versus Water. And everybody and like people like really were we so like were you know we were moving
uh-huh
And we told the truth.
We told the truth. Maybe we might have hinted things that maybe weren't necessarily the case. But we were honest about what we were doing. Uh-huh. We were moving. We're going to be offline for a little bit.
Everything just happened and to be perfect timing.
People were would just send us nasty emails. Like, we know you're going to be on the next season of Survivor. Just tell us right now. I'm like, I'm not going to be on the season. Like, you're a liar. Like, screw you. F you, man. F you.
Really, you got F U's?
Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh.
And it's like I'm not on the next season of Survivor. Not on the next season of Survivor. And then we did the Survivor Know It Alls after the end of Survivor, Cara Moen. And then at the end of the show, we teased a big announcement. Like, we're gonna come out and say, hey everybody, I'm gonna be on Survivor. We announced that Nicole was pregnant with Dominic. And I felt like that was a fun moment.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm. Happy Holidays 3 in the works.
What's going on for that?
Okay, well, that's a big surprise.
Oh, is it? Oh, sorry.
It's a big surprise.
It's Nunya. Nunya business.
Nunya business. All right. So, Nicole, I want to... I do have a request for the 1,000th episode.
Okay.
Okay? Again, we did no commercials in this episode. Tried to close it in on 3 hours. Whoa. On 1,000 episodes. What I would like... If you are so inclined, if you've never left Rob as a Podcast any feedback in the iTunes store, I would ask if you ever do it after 1,000 episodes, this is the moment. So if you've never left us a...
I thought you were asking me to do this.
Well, I know you've never done it.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So I've given... You're a lost cause.
I'm going
to
go do it.
But these people listen to me. These people listen to hour after hour after podcast after podcast, and they never tell me shut up.
Well, you can't hear it.
Well, they might tell me shut up, but you're right, I can't hear it. But they seem more supportive of me talking. They seem to be more fond of what I have to say than you do.
That's fair enough.
That's fair. So if you were ever going to leave us feedback on iTunes, this is the moment. robhaswebsite.com/iTunes. Star rating is great. Comment is even better. Mm-hmm. If this is the moment, if we're ever going to do it for 1,000 podcasts, I would love to get to 1,000 comments.
Ooh.
1,000 ratings.
We dare you.
Yeah. We're at about 700.
Okay.
So that's a big ask.
Okay. It's
that's
doable.
A big ask. That's a big ask.
It's a big ask.
Ask.
Oh.
Ask.
Oh.
robhaswebsite.com/iTunes for that. Nicole, time for a hashtag. Time for a hashtag. I'm just going to keep it really, really straightforward. I guess RHAP1K is the hashtag. What you want to say? Nunya?
Nunya.
the show as a whole is going to be RHAP1K. If you want to give us the hashtag that you got to the end.
How do you spell Nunya?
I think it's Nunya.
Okay.
I think that's, or I guess you could spell Nonnya.
Well, you have to make it the same for everybody.
I'd say Nunya would be the sanctioned spelling Nunya. Of Nunya. But Nicole, I'm impressed that you made it.
I'm impressed too.
So I'm impressed. I'm
especially
because
I
got to
be up soon because Big D's going to be up.
I guarantee you, I'll be up before you are.
It's because you wake him up.
I wake him up? I wake up the baby? Why would I do that? Am I a
sadist? You don't do it on purpose.
I do it by accident?
Because
I'm so noisy?
You're a bit noisy.
Look, these people want the podcast, Nicole. I'm sorry if I'm editing podcasts. I'm wearing headphones.
No, it's your big feet stamping around.
Yes, I'm not stamping around. I sit in a chair the whole day.
You get up, you go to the bathroom.
Oh, sorry about that.
With your feet.
Sorry about that. All right. So I had so much fun. I feel like these 3 hours went by so fast.
Good.
These 1,000 episodes went by like that.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah. The days don't go by like that, but the actual, the 5 years of doing this podcast.
Well, the more coffee you drink, the faster it'll go.
Is that how it is?
Yeah.
Is that how it is? Anyway, I'm having so much fun getting to make all these podcasts. I feel like, we're on the verge of so much cool stuff right now. Check out the Rob as a Podcast app, robasawebsite.com/app. Totally free. Check it out. You could listen to so many of these moments, and then we'll get our act together. together after the first few hours of the podcast is posted, and we'll get links to all these shows that we talked about. Thank you guys so much for 1,000 episodes. This is a dream come true to get to work on this podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to it. I am super appreciative of everything that you guys have brought to my life. It makes me so happy to get to do this. And that it, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for the support.
You guys make him smile.
Yes, yes. And don't tell me to shut up, which I do.
And that's why he smiles.
Which I appreciate.
Shut up.
Yes. All right. On that note, have a great one. We've got so much, a big, big week of podcasts coming up. It's not just like, hey, stop and smell the roses. We are going to be back with Survivor Know-It-Alls Wednesday night. We'll do our big Thursday podcast with Parvati, voicemails with Josh Wiggler. We're going to talk to the latest person kicked off of Survivor. I'll also have our real 1,000th episode with the latest team kicked off the Amazing Race.
Not this fake 1,000.
Yes. 1,000 with an asterisk. And then on Friday night, Jessica Lee and I will be back to talk about the next episode of the Amazing Race live on Friday night. So have a great one, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, guys.
Welcome to Rehab Update. Good evening. I'm Sesame Long. Here is tonight's top story. Rob Has a Podcast this week is celebrating its 1,000th episode. Here now with his reviews of some of the top moments is 1860s media critic Zedediah Rehapkinson.
Thank you, Sesame. Delighted to be here.
Happy to have you, Zedediah. Have you listened to all 1,000 episodes of RHAP?
Of course. I have listened to every podcast ever created in every century, and I am not impressed.
Okay, look, I know you're known as a harsh critic, but I'd be surprised if you didn't enjoy at least some of the popular Rob Has a Podcast moments.
Would you? Well, I assure you, Sesame, I've listened to each RHAP episode closely, and I think you'll find my reviews to be fair and well-reasoned. Without question, Rob has the worst podcast of all time. Everything he covers is CBS, constantly boring shows. Survivor, 39 days, 16 people who are still watching this show. Next. Big Brother, more like Big Bother. You better believe that's a next. And then there's The Amazing Race. What's amazing is it's still on the air. Next. And if that wasn't good enough, he also does exit interviews. Not good enough for Survivor royalty, not good enough for me. Next.
Okay, you don't like the exit interviews, but surely you like some of his big guests like Boston Rob or Jeff Probst?
Oh yes, Boston Rob. Let me tell you the ZR rule. There's only one, and it's to skip this podcast. Next. And don't get me started on the Jeff Probst cast. Now there's an interview that's got nothing for you. I'll tell you the only person who that's worth playing for, Christy Smith, next.
Well, what about some of his tried and true guests? His Mount Rehapmore, as it's called. Like some of my personal faves, Stephen Fishback and Eric Stein.
Stephen Fishback? Here's some advice. Throw that fish back. That guppy is not ready for prime time. Survivor Know-It-Alls. I know it always puts me to sleep. Next. Eric Stein, Saved by the Bell Megacast? More like Save Me From This Hell Mega Fast. And here's a clue. We don't want to hear you talk about movies either. Next.
Well, Zedediah, I think you have to at least give Rob credit for all the special events he puts together for the fans.
Oh, like the top 20 players? You want to know what you can tabulate? The divorce settlement when Rob's wife realizes his poll only goes up for internet surveys. Next. Survivor Jeopardy. I'll take total loserdom for 1,000, Alex. Who is Rob Sestanino? No, really, who is he? Next. And don't get me started on reality game masters. If I wanted to watch a reality star play games online, I'd look up Dan Giesling's Twitch channel. And finally, Miss Survivor. Miss Survivor is what all of you should try doing once in a while. In other words, get a life, change the channel. Why not check out Mysteries of Laura? That's a delightful romp.
Zedediah Rehapkinson, everybody. For a Rehap Update, I'm Sesame Long. Good night.